about.
Men, I'm not going to waste any more of your time than I have to. I want to wish you good luck on today's mission. To those of you who won't be coming back, I'd like to say we're going to do our best to take care of your wives and or sweethearts. Everyone ready to go?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Got a message for all you kids out there. I know everyone says, oh, you can do whatever you want if you put your mind to it. It's all one big lie. Crushing disappointment. So, give up on your dream.
I have ideas that can make the human race existence within our 100 years better. Period.
You're just absolutely right. And I'm absolutely wrong. It must be nice to always believe you know better. To always think you're the smartest person in the room.
That's awful.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Am I on the air?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hell yeah.
Roll up.
I get it.
This one seems to be about to quit.
But you're wrong.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
That's a deal.
Why?
Chronically flatulent.
Just like the other one.
I'm a scientist.
This one seems to be about to end.
Whatever that is.
I don't have another cent.
I'm going to quote a great man here and say, Daddy Likey.
I've come a long way since Kazan.
Just pass it around.
That's racist.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
I just pass it on down.
And now.
You know what I keep asking myself?
Why? Why didn't the Seahawks just give the ball to Marshawn?
Our feature presentation.
That's a great question. That is a great question.
We should check in with the Licky Brush. How many have they sold?
But what made you think of the Licky Brush? Should we just play something
about
that?
Yeah, the cat. Do you ever want to lick your cat?
Oh, that was her.
Yeah.
You think they've sold a tremendous amount? Is that what?
Yeah, I do.
That's scary, isn't it?
It's terrifying.
It's a brush you put on your tongue, people, and then you can lick your cat with it.
So you feel more at one with your kitty cat.
Bond with it. I'd like to check in. That would be interesting. Yeah. Although I'm afraid of the results.
Yeah. I'd be more afraid to talk to people that have bought one.
People, we should do that.
No, those people are terrifying.
We should totally do that.
I feel like we should, too.
We should do that. Let me make a note. Does someone make notes? How does this work?
I guess you do.
Okay. Maybe wait until after,
make
Kevin.
Hold on.
Okay.
People.
See, because we're on the radio right now, so.
I bought the Licky Brush.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I mean, do what you want to do.
Okay.
Okay.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, September 9th. This is a strange story, and it seems like technology-wise, this should never and does – it never happens anymore because we've solved all of these issues. But there's a plane that landed on the wrong continent.
Not
the wrong airport
right.
or the wrong city, but the wrong continent.
How do you not know?
Air Asia pilots apparently put wrong information into the navigation system.
Huh.
So the flight was supposed to go from the, it was supposed to go from Australian city of Melbourne to the Southeast Asian country of Malaysia.
Okay, that seems easy enough.
Right. So, but then the flight path didn't seem to be taking them there.
Right.
And then the pilots put in some more information.
Uh-huh.
And then that didn't help.
Oh,
and
God.
Then the plane eventually landed back in Melbourne.
Hmm.
So they probably all strapped in like you do. Put on your headphones.
Right.
Get something to drink maybe.
Yeah.
If you can sleep, if you're lucky enough to be able to sleep, maybe you try to sleep.
Yeah.
And then you wake up, you're like, wow, we're already landing.
That was
awesome.
Quick.
That's great. That didn't take nearly as long as I thought. How's Malaysia?
Wow.
They didn't have any idea.
Can you imagine if you took like an Ambien or something like that and you just, you're up now so refreshed, you're like, let's start this vacation.
You get right back off?
Oh, no. What the heck happened?
They put in bogus information and then their instrumentation was off.
Well, that seems like it shouldn't happen.
Right. It seems like there are checks and balances along the way with every airline everywhere that would keep that from happening.
And I feel like even during the flight, maybe you should be in correspondence with people on the ground that could be like, hey.
Well, I think near the end of the flight they were.
Uh-huh.
And the people in the tower were like, hey. And then the pilot said, yes.
Is that how it went?
I'm pretty sure. This is from the transcript.
It's a great recreation.
And then the tower said, no. And then they said, yes. That's how it went. And then they landed.
See, I think that's a major problem, too. There's not enough communication.
I'm pretty sure of those details.
Okay.
But imagine just that is frightening.
I feel like once I sit down, put that seatbelt on, the person up there knows what they're doing.
Right.
We're going to get there.
I always listen because my last mistake would be I'm on the wrong plane. So if they make the announcement, that's when I'm off the hook.
And that rarely happens anymore.
Right.
Because, again, so many checks and balances just to get on the plane.
Right.
But then once you're there, I don't want to have to start worrying now. Am I going to be in the air for 4 hours right back at LAX?
I think what would change that is that if you realize that there were millions of flights a day.
Right.
And this happened once.
That we know of, Kevin.
So you're probably, the odds are probably in your favor that when you get on a plane and you fly to wherever, you'll end up there.
Well, just not these people. All I know is 8 minutes ago I didn't have this fear. So
sorry to bring more fears to
you. Thank you.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
I just don't care at all.
RJ Bell, back with a look at the NFL this weekend. Very excited.
See the game last night?
I saw a lot of it.
Wow.
I didn't see the end, though.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nothing?
Just a lot of hits to Cam Newton that weren't flagged all that much.
I did see him limping on the sideline. I saw what looked like a helmet to helmet.
I saw three of those. Might have been more. It just seems like maybe that whole concussion protocol thing that they've been touting.
Not working so
well? Not seeing a lot.
Ooh, that's not good.
It's not great.
Adam Nimoy is going to be on the program today talking about a documentary that he made for his dad called For the Love of Spock.
Oh.
We have a brand new internet roundup, and we've got the movie beat because it is Friday. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the showbiz beat next. Hey, that's those guys from that band.
No, it isn't.
It is.
No, it just sounds like them.
Good.
That's New Kings of Leon.
What?
Called Waste a Moment. How about that? New Kings of Leon.
Heard you.
Kryptonite, right into that.
That happened. Yeah, that did happen.
Alternative first.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Kevin and Bean not included.
Yeah, sadly, they are included today. Apologies to all of you tuned in this morning, hoping for more fun. Yeah. But Kevin's back, so.
How dare you?
We got that to contend with. We'll do the best we can. We will soldier on.
We'll try.
In this time of national crisis, we will move forward and we'll all come together, and I think we'll overcome it.
I assume yesterday went pretty well, pretty smoothly.
Judging from the listener response,
a
good time was had by all.
Right.
Yeah.
Ralph and I are now negotiating with Kiss.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah, because Seacrest.
Yeah.
Whatever with him.
Screw that guy.
Failure. What a failure he is in radio.
Loser.
Kiss needs a real morning show. It gets the big numbers. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Why'd I choose Kiss?
I don't know.
Not sure.
Could have picked a station that was reasonable chance that we actually could work at.
Bad choice.
That's not one.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's all right. Let's talk about show business, shall we? Like the murder business?
Nope. No, sir.
Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
On the murder business. You remember her?
Sure.
The charming Australian rapstress.
You're not a big fan of her.
She's a fraud and a racist and a farter. But she's got a new boyfriend, so there's that.
Hmm.
She's got French Montana now. She and French Montana are hot and heavy, according to the powers that be. And her ex-fiance, Nick Young of your Los Angeles Lakers, is killing his ex with kindness, which I think is the way to go in often many cases. He told TMZ.com that he's so happy for the new duo. He hopes they get married and everyone should buy French Montana's new album. So, see what he did there?
Interesting.
Maybe a little sarcasm in his remarks, but I think it's awesome. That's the way to go, Nick. Good for you.
Do you think he was alluding to the fact that he has a new album, so this is publicity for it?
I don't know, conspiracy theorist. I think maybe he's just busting balls.
Okay.
What do
busting
I know?
Balls?
Busting balls. Just, in the murder business.
Just busting balls. So you're Lindsay Lohan.
I'm not, but I'll accept that premise.
Please play along for the purposes of argument. And you broke up with your ex-fiancé, Igor Trabasov. Now, in the course of your relationship, he gave you a giant honking emerald ring. Now the relationship is over. What do you do? What do you do?
Was it an engagement ring?
It was not.
Oh, then that's just jewelry he gave you along the way.
Oh, here we go. Now I see how it works.
No, if it's an engagement ring, that's a question. Uh-huh. But if he gave me earrings, would I give those back? No. Same thing with the ring. Or a scorching case of herpes.
Well, Lindsay, according to sources, is considering the ring her severance package, she calls it.
Dear.
And claims that she can sell the ring for about $60,000 if she ever needs to, so she's holding on to it.
Hmm.
That's nice.
I like her to hold on to other people's stuff.
Yeah, that's
when
weird.
When she leaves that area. Remember, she used to steal
like fur coats and stuff,
and everything. They had to go find, like, reclaim them.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
She did a few fashion shoots where she walked off with some merch. But she thought they were gifts, just like Allie thinks.
You really don't think giving a ring or jewelry, you would ask for that back? Really?
I don't know what the situation was with the ring, what promises were made, what was going on. But just saying.
What are you saying?
Just saying.
Would you ask for it back?
Her severance package?
Well, right? That's a dumb way of saying it. That's ridiculous. But
or is it? Or is it the truth?
Right.
Mm. Right.
I'm confused.
Me too.
And speaking of the truth and Allie and conspiracy theories, this is nuts. Why are people talking about the movie Grease 30 years after it's come out? Why? Stop
amazing.
It, America!
Wait, what are they? What are people
we
saying about
are
Grease?
Officially
wait for it, Kevin.
Off the chain.
What are the? What's the topic?
Number one trending topic in social media, Kevin, is Grease.
Because
what if Sandy and Danny are dead? You heard me. What if Sandy and Danny, John Travolta and the broad from Australia,
Olivia Newton-John,
are actually dead when the movie starts?
You sound insane. Do you realize that?
Well,
you should be medicated.
Here comes the conspiracy theory. In the song Summer Nights, Danny tells his pal, saved her life. She nearly drowned. Well, what if he couldn't save Sandy and she did drown? And as the oxygen is leaving her brain, she has a coma dream about spending a year of high school with Danny.
Mm.
And then at the end of the movie, when Danny and Sandy are in the Grease lightning car and it lifts off into the clouds, what if that is Sandy finally making her way into heaven?
Right.
Oh, and by the way, Danny is also drowned. So this is his final dream about rescuing his girl and imagining what it would like to be with her.
Yeah, that's a twofer conspiracy.
Okay, so
right
they are dead.
But that is happening now.
So in the movie, they're dead.
Right, but I'm saying why now is that happening?
It took a long time to come up with it, I assume.
Because people like Allie exist.
Is that right?
And they live and they just sit at home with their Swanson frozen TV dinners and they just start messing with people.
Who's still wondering about the premise of Grease?
Many, many people. I'm gonna start slapping some bitches.
I don't think that's
the
right
only
spot.
Answer, Allie.
I don't think violence is the answer. And do you really think Sandy would wear that to heaven? I mean, let's be honest.
Just keep rolling.
See what I'm saying?
You go to me, God, you're like, hey, here's my leather pants and my little half top. No, Sandy would be a bit more demure, I think, meeting Jesus.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Hugh Grant. Charming, beloved British actor Hugh Grant. He's 56 years old today. Adam Sandler is 50 years old. Eric Stone Street, our buddy Stoney.
He's the best.
Modern Family. been on the show a bunch of times. We love Eric. He's a good man. Nice guy. 45 years old today. Michael Bublé turns 41. Michelle Williams is 36 years old. Afrojack, DJ Afrojack, is 29 today. UFC's Jose Aldo is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:06. The movie beat coming up in just a few minutes, telling you what movies are in the theater this weekend so you can decide what you want to go see. We are becoming obsessed with conspiracy theorists. Mm-hmm. Love them so much.
Yeah.
Now, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of JonBenet Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
She's the little girl. She was six. She was a beauty queen. Her parents reported her missing. Then she was found in their basement. And for a long time, they were the suspects. The parents were the suspects.
Right. And the brother. Right?
And the brother was also a suspect. Yeah, it was just an ugly, ugly story. But here's the conspiracy theory that is fascinating. JonBenet Ramsey,
mm-hmm.
not dead.
No?
Not dead.
Okay.
Didn't die. Instead, grew up to be Katy Perry.
What?
JonBenet Ramsey.
Okay.
Is not dead.
No.
She continued to live.
Sure.
And is now the person that we know as Katy Perry.
Where's she been growing up? Which Katy Perry, Katy Perry? Or
yes.
Did she have some other name?
I don't have all
when
of those
When did the switch
answers.
Over happen?
I don't have all of those answers, but luckily people on the internet do.
Oh, thank God.
So if you go to Google and you type in, I just typed in JonBenet is.
Uh-huh.
And the first one that came up is Katy
Perry. What the heck?
I don't know why they have put the two together, but it's all this Masonic stuff and all these, you know, conspiracy theorists that think there's this tiny group of people that are running the world and they're
Illuminati type
Illuminati.
People.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. So here's one of their spokespeople. And I think you'll see that they come from a place of real science, that the spokesperson has thought through this issue and is very knowledgeable and can tell us exactly what happened, how it happened. And it's very amazing. Listen to this guy.
JonBenet Ramsey was not murdered. That was all just a Masonic play. JonBenet grew up to be Katy Perry. JonBenet murder took place in Colorado. JonBenet unsolved murder mystery. Let's start off with the smoking gun.
All right. Now, I wasn't expecting that.
I'm in.
He's going right for
right
the smoking.
Right to it.
Right.
That's interesting. He doesn't tease us with any other stuff. Just right there. Not bearing the lead.
Not going to build a case
no.
or anything. He's just going to go straight to the smoking gun. This next clip is going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt it's the smoking gun, people.
Looking forward to it.
JonBenet is Katy Perry.
Probably the biggest clue that Katy Perry is JonBenet all grown up is an excerpt from a biography book, Life of a Firework.
It's an excerpt from a biography book.
Life of a Firework?
So that's what he says, yes. And then they show on the YouTube channel, they show the highlighted text where she's talking about being a child and how she used to sing all the time.
This is Katy Perry.
Yes,
yes,
Katy Perry. This is the book that he's referencing.
Uh-huh.
She's telling, you know, her story of growing up. She always sang. She was in the church. She was a very religious family. She would sing at home.
Right.
And then she says something that this guy says is the smoking gun.
Okay.
It was taken from an interview she did with the Mail. She says, not that I was one of those stage kids. There was no JonBenet Ramsey inside of me waiting to burst out.
That's it.
I mean,
that she said that.
We're done.
She said,
we're
not
done.
That I'm JonBenet Ramsey.
She is.
Smoking gun.
Right there.
Boom.
There was no JonBenet Ramsey inside of me waiting to burst out. All right.
Now, listen as he works his way through this scientifically.
Now, why would she say that? I mean, I get it. She was trying to reference stage kids and named someone famous for being a stage kid.
Right, that's why. That's
but
the
I,
answer.
I feel like he's got more, though, right?
It still seems inappropriate. Why would Katy Perry compare herself to a six-year-old girl that was supposedly strangled to death in her own home on Christmas?
I just want to remind you before we move on, this is the smoking gun.
And really, who does that?
Right?
It doesn't make much sense.
Mm.
Unless it's a clue.
It's a clue.
The Illuminati always puts out clues hidden in plain sight.
Right.
And I believe this was one of those. If you're old enough to remember, in 1996-97, when Benet was supposedly killed, You couldn't go to a grocery store without seeing magazines with her face on it.
All right, so now...
Why'd the music stop?
I'm not positive.
That was very dramatic.
First of all, I want to compliment the music. If somebody else added it, they did a good job
Amazing.
On that. If he added it, he did good work on that. So now he's going to tell you who would have done this and who would have benefited from it.
Oh, this is what I want to hear.
Yeah.
There was different new leads every month on who did it. Almost like a made-for-TV movie. Which it was.
Oh.
Media was all in on it. People who run media corporations are, of course, Illuminati affiliated.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
He's got a point.
Yep.
Everybody knows that.
Yep.
So they are all in on it. And
right.
They all kept this secret.
Sure.
So that they could tease out all these different stories and sell magazines. I mean, this guy's making a lot of sense.
Kevin, I worked in the news.
Right?
I was
Illuminati.
Aware, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Are you still Illuminati?
A little bit.
Okay.
They made a lot of money.
Can you be a little bit in the Illuminati?
Well, that's the secret.
Okay.
Off selling the scam. If you know anything about Freemasons, Illuminati, Skull and Bones, whoever, you know that they're all about symbolism and rituals. That's where JonBenet Ramsey's murder comes into play.
Okay, now wait. There wasn't a murder, though. There was no murder. But he says that's where JonBenet Ramsey's murder came into play. So let's see how he ties this up.
She was sacrificed, but in name only.
In name only.
Sacrificed in order to become a star, Katy Perry. I found a tweet she did.
All right. Now we're moving on from the smoking gun.
Right.
To a tweet that is also solid evidence.
Uh-huh. He did some research. I mean, this guy, he did some deep dives.
Right? There's one line in a book where she references JonBenet. That's the smoking gun.
Uh-huh.
Now he's going to go to Twitter and he's going to have Katy Perry tell the story herself.
Some years back, saying, God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her. Lyrics to God Bless America.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know it's a common song that everyone has sung at some point.
I like that he debunks his idea before he moves on. Yeah, it's a common song, everybody sings it. But what if it's a clue?
In their lives, but this could be another clue still.
Ah.
Then again at Super Bowl 49.
Okay,
here
we go. By
the way,
4 plus 9 equals 13.
A lot of numbers in this. A lot
of numbers. 4 plus 9 does equal 13.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was Super Bowl 49.
Okay.
4 and 9 add up to 13. 13.
A number commonly associated with Illuminati.
There you go.
Obviously.
Boom.
Yeah.
You want to hear from somebody else? You want to hear from another scientist?
A little bit.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
JonBenet Ramsey did not die. Nobody died. Nobody got hurt. That sacrifice was an in-name only.
Okay, that seems
sacrifice
to be a big thing.
That sacrifice was to get something, and that something was to become a star.
Okay.
JonBenet Ramsey became Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, okay. Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. So if any of you...
That's a fact.
And it sounded like you said JonBenet. So is this a totally different kid?
I'm not positive.
Okay.
Continue to lie about this person dying. You are, in fact, a false witness to murder and death.
Oh.
That's a fact. If any of you have told people in the past that this person died... You need to go tell them that you were wrong.
Okay.
Otherwise, you are still a liar and a false witness of death.
Okay.
Nobody died. Nobody got hurt. Period.
Okay. So that
he's a bit more aggressive, and I don't like his tone.
You don't?
No. It scares me.
How about another guy that goes deeper into the numbers?
Well, I need math with my theories.
It sounds like there's some meat there with the numbers.
Supposedly, she was born on August 6, 1990 in Atlanta, Georgia. Of course, as I mentioned many times, Atlanta, Georgia is on the 33rd parallel. Just like CNN, like I pointed out many times, is located also in Atlanta, Georgia.
It is headquartered there.
Right on the 33rd parallel.
Well, obvi.
Understand, as I mentioned before as well, Christ, of course, was crucified at the age of 33. This is all about the mockery of Christ.
Oh. Mm.
And the reason the highest degree in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry is 33.
Right.
Talking about the mockery of Christ, let's get back the numbers associated with JonBenet Ramsey.
Okay.
Supposedly died on December 25th.
Oh.
And, of course, the date that supposedly Christ was born, when he was actually more likely born the end of September, the beginning of October.
All right. Now, I feel like we're getting into other topics here. I feel like we're a little off base because now we're talking about the fact that Christ was born in September. I don't know that people really honestly think that it was December 25th, although it wasn't celebrated. But I feel like we're off course here a little bit.
Yeah.
But let's see.
Whole nother subject.
Right.
Basically, this is Nimrod's birthday.
Okay.
Wait,
the cult of Babylon.
Nimrod from the Cult of Babylon. Are you paying attention?
I'm sorry. I was jotting down notes. This is very hard.
This is important. Just after 7 o'clock this morning, we're going to talk to R.J. Bell about
this. Is R.J. Bell.
Right? Mm-hmm.
R.J. Bell.
Yep. Just after 7, we're going to talk to him about the NFL season. Right now, Ralph is here with a look at the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been
everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, interesting batch this weekend. What are you going to see? I don't know. Let's go through them, then you decide. All don't right. put so much pressure on me.
No one said anything.
No, well. They're talking. They're talking in my head. Other People is in limited release this weekend. Molly Shannon's getting a lot of attention for her performance in this. It's one of those dramedies. That's comedy and drama together, Kevin.
Okay, let me make a note.
Right.
Dramedy.
A struggling comedy writer, fresh off a breakup and in the midst of the worst year of his life, has to return home to care for his dying mother. Bradley Whitford, Zach Woods, Jesse Plemons, and as I mentioned, Molly Shannon in this film directed by Chris Kelly. Molly Shannon, in this particular scene, talks about what she would like to happen when she passes away.
I want to be frozen. Do they have that as an option? Frozen? Can I be frozen?
You want to be
Check
frozen?
Check the frozen option.
Frozen? Like a pea?
Yeah, exactly. Like a pea.
I
want to be frozen and then propped up on our couch in our living room, and I can watch you to make sure you don't cheat on me when I'm gone.
You're going to make... They sure...
I think it's funny, but that's what I'm going to do.
But you won't have eyes, because you donated your eyes.
That's too bad. No. I guess I'll be buried.
It is, touching, heartbreaking, funny. Got a lot of good reviews for this film, Other People. So you can check that out.
All right.
Or, When the Bow Breaks, What Happens, Yo?
The Cradle Falls.
Right.
Right.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
This, When the Bow Breaks, was a movie. This is a
it's not a movie
this
now?
A reboot. This is a reboot. This is a remake.
Okay.
The original film, When the Bow Breaks, was about a nanny who moves in with a family, and she falls in love with the baby, and then she decides that, oh, if I get the husband and I can have the baby and the family, I just gotta get the wife out of the picture.
That seems bad.
That is bad. What if you update it, though, and you make it, instead of a nanny, it's a surrogate. So she's actually carrying the dude's baby, and she says, if I get the husband, I got the baby in my belly, and then I get rid of the wife, and I can have the whole package. And then what happens when you make Morris Chestnut the star? He's dreamy.
Yeah.
And you got Regina Hall. And
she's great in everything.
She's great in everything. Yeah. This looks terrific. Here are some clips from the trailer of When the Bow Breaks.
Are you sure you still want to be a surrogate?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Mitchell is going to be taken in and charged with domestic battery.
I don't have another place to stay.
Yes, you do.
I told Laura she's lucky to have you.
That is our baby. She cannot leave.
When she gives birth, it is her child until she relinquishes that right.
She's dangerous, John. She can kill your baby today.
Do what you have to do to bring my baby back.
Oh, this looks sexy and terrifying and scary. I love those movies where it's like the sexy psychopathic girl moves in on the married man. He's like, ugh, you can do anything you want. He's like, no, I will be strong. I don't want, I love my wife. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. And then bad things happen because he bounce, chicka, bound. Right?
Right.
You don't know.
Of Garman's one-man play.
This is one of my picks for the weekend. Not only because it looks terrifying and stars one of my favorite actresses, Kate Beckinsale.
Love her.
But it's also directed by a good buddy of mine named DJ Caruso. He's a very talented guy. He gave us Disturbia. Have you ever saw that movie with Shia LaBeouf? Remember when Shia LaBeouf used to make movies?
Yeah, that was something.
Disturbia was his. Eagle Eye was his. A movie called The Salt and Sea with Val Kilmer, which I loved that film. Movie called Two for the Money, you may remember.
Classic Al Pacino.
Film, Two for the Money.
I remember Al
starring
Pacino.
Starring Ralph Garman and Al Pacino.
I remember Al.
This film, The Disappointments Room, is about a fragile mother and wife, played by Kate Beckinsale. She's got some, her mental capacity is, let's say,
shaky?
Precarious.
Okay,
precariously balanced, let's say.
Okay.
And so to get away from her stress, the family moves to a rural home. Never a good idea.
Oh, right. Get away from people.
And she's looking through the house, and she finds behind this cupboard a locked door that leads to a room that no one can find on any of the floor plans or blueprints
so
for the house.
She moves.
She does not move, right? Kevin. She becomes obsessed about finding out what's inside this room. And sadly, she finds out what's inside the room.
What?
Disappointments.
Oh.
Hey, that's this room. I thought this was the room of disappointments.
This is the disappointments room. It is also a movie by the same name. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Disappointments Room.
Ready for your new house?
This is a new beginning.
New beginning.
You okay?
Yeah. Just, this room's not on the floor plans.
Don't get sick again, Mommy.
Oh, there's no one else here.
I'm scared.
You are all going to die tonight.
Oh, it's got everything. It's creepy kids and locked doors. Kate Beckinsale being all bleh. And lastly, Sully. Sully's the guy you want at the helm,
right?
You got to land in a Niverna River.
Right, if that's your category, yes.
Then you want Chesley Sullenberger to be behind the yoke. And, of course, he was on that fateful day when 155 crew and passengers were forced to land on the Hudson River. I had no idea. I only know it was the big story, and he was a hero, and everybody applauded him and said, oh, good for you, Sully, we love you.
I had no idea,
and people were, like, busting his balls about
why?
It.
Why?
Yeah. Like, you made a huge mistake there, Mr. Sullenberger.
Didn't they all live?
Yeah! He saved everyone's life. But then the FAA and his own bosses come at him, and they're like, no, you did the wrong thing.
Pee Wee Herman is in it?
I would have said, why don't you bite me? I just landed a plane on a river.
Successfully.
Right. Oh. I win. Good day, sir. You get nothing. So this is the story not only of his heroic actions, but then all the BS he had to deal with afterwards.
Wow.
I punched some people if I was Sullenberg. Tom Hanks, of course, in American Treasure, plays Chesley Sullenberger, another American Treasure. Aaron Eckhart, Laura Linney. Directed by Clint Eastwood. Here's a scene from Sully where investigators are grilling my boy Sully about saving all those people by landing on a river.
The best chance those passengers had was on that river. And I bet my life on it. In fact, I did. And I would do it again.
Aviation engineers are theorizing you had enough energy to make it back to a runway.
Well, engineers are not pilots. They're wrong. No, they weren't there.
You stated that it was a dual-engine failure due to multiple bird strikes.
That would be unprecedented.
Well, everything is unprecedented until it happens for the first time.
Boom. He saved all those people.
It makes me...
What does a guy have to do?
You're just hearing that scene, and you know it happened, and you know those officious dolts were sitting at that table, second-guessing this man who had just saved 154 lives. Son of a bitch. So Sully's out this weekend. Great stuff to choose from. Enjoy yourselves. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Half hour from now, we're going to check in with RJ Bell talking about the NFL week number one. Very exciting. Sunday Night Football. It's going to be the Arizona Cardinals against the Patriots of a certain Allie McKay.
Oh, a certain Kevin Ritter.
Let's talk about this daycare in Connecticut that has turned into a weed operation. Now, I wouldn't think this would happen in Connecticut, of all places.
No, I got news for you.
But apparently this daycare that's been running for over 20 years was raided, and they found hundreds of marijuana plots.
Now to the major bust in West Haven. It turns out a daycare wasn't the only business being run inside a local home in town.
No, police say there was also a drug operation worth more than $1 million.
I meant plants, marijuana plants.
But I said plots. So now that I think they go to the man on the street.
State records show Rosalie Miller has been running a licensed daycare at the home for six children since 1995. That license has been revoked and the home condemned. Inspectors were called to the home because of poor conditions. In the backyard, they found marijuana growing, and police found much more behind the fence.
What do you think that is worth,
$600? A few thousand. A lot.
More like over $1 million.
I should have smelled that. That's crazy. I didn't expect that. A daycare? That's not good.
He's my favorite.
I should have smelled that. So I asked Dave if we could talk to the daycare in Connecticut, and I believe he has hooked us up.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Is this the daycare?
Yes.
We're looking for Rosalie, I believe, is the owner.
She's not here.
Okay, who's this?
This is Danny.
Danny.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
Hi.
Danny, how old are you?
I'm four. Four, I'm this many.
We can't
see your fingers, but
well,
you're...
that's your problem.
Okay.
Oh, that's aggressive.
So you're 4 years old. Is there any adult there?
No.
Okay. How many kids are there?
We have about... I can't count that high.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a lot of kids.
Yeah. But I know we have 600 marijuana plots.
I heard a dumb guy on the radio say that.
Yeah.
600 marijuana plants. Oh.
Danny.
Yeah, what's up?
Danny, you shouldn't be smoking weed. You're 4 years old.
You mind your own business, old lady. Don't harsh my buzz, okay?
Okay. But,
oh, blocks are so cool when you smoke this stuff.
You're playing with blocks?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have a bong and you have blocks.
Right. I got some crayons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the colors are dancing, man.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Danny, there's no adults around.
You guys are out already?
No, we're not out, but...
Oh, okay. Usually when I stop talking, someone else goes.
Well, we're saying there's 600 marijuana plants and no adult plots, right? And you guys are there. Do you get any instruction? Does anybody show up during the day?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay, some adults?
Yeah, and then we all get together and we sing our favorite song. The Magic Dragon, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because pot,
right.
Right.
600 plots, I heard.
Plots, yeah. A lot of plots.
Now, what do you... It seems like that's too much weed for you to go through.
Yeah, well, then we sell it.
You sell it?
Well, not me. I got my boys doing it.
Danny, you are 4 years old. You are not... running a drug operation with other kids, are you?
I just said I was.
That's not right, Danny. Oh, Danny.
We're not happy with you, Danny.
Oh, Trump.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
So we had Dave get Taylor on the Swift for us. Taylor on the Swift.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift on the phone for us. Hey, shut up, Taylor. I don't need your input on that.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
He's back. Woo! How am I outraged by anyone? How does that ever happen?
I don't know.
I'm an agent of chaos, Ralph. That's what I bring to the table.
Huh.
Chaos.
Wasn't that the secret organization of Maxwell Smart? Battle to get smart.
It was.
You are an agent of chaos. Speaking of RJ Bell, who's coming up next, Edwin writes in, damn it. I totally missed the office pool and who would be on the show today, if anyone. I had a parlay of Kevin being back, but Chip being broke down on the side of the road as she toured with Well Hung Heart and Allie trapped in her garage.
Wow.
I don't think I can pay the rent after losing this one. Mm. Please have RJ Bill give us tips on handicapping who will be on the Kevin and Bean show from now on. Edwin, well, we'll try to see if we can get some action for you.
That's pretty impossible to nail down.
It is pretty possible. Every day, it's a change.
Right.
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I once again take the stage with Hollywood Babylon.
No way. No way.
Yeah, people love it like that guy. He enjoys That guy, he enjoys it.
No way. No way.
Come on out. Come on out and see us at the Late Show, 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Me, Kevin Smith, booze, weed, laughter. What more do you need?
Are you providing the booze and the weed?
Booze and weed not included.
Okay.
Go to improv.com. Get your tickets. Pretty easy to do. And speaking of tickets, these tickets, these are hard to get. I'm going to make you earn these tickets. How about tickets to Danny Elfman's Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl?
Yeah!
Love it.
Right?
Love it.
Elfman, the movie, Nightmare Before Christmas, orchestra, live performances to the film, Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman himself, Danny Elfman singing Jack Skellington's role as he did in the film. This is Danny's last go-around with this, by the way. He told us in no uncertain terms, this is it.
He doesn't like...
This is it.
He did say that
yes.
Several times.
Yes. It's happening October 29th or 30th.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is it. The final,
this is the
curtain,
final
call.
Curtain call.
When I say this is it, it right. really means right. this is it.
October 29th and 30th. You get tickets for your choice, the 29th or the 30th. But you can't just call and win. You're going to have to answer a trivia question showing that you know something about something. Here's the question. Danny Elfman, of course, as I mentioned, provided the singing voice for Jack Skellington in Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. Now, besides the singing voice of Jack Skellington, he also provided voices for two characters in the film. All you got to do is name one. Name one of those characters right now. 1-800-520-1067. If you can name one of the two characters he voiced in The Nightmare Before Christmas, then you will get your choice of a pair of tickets to either the 29th or 30th for Danny Elfman's Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl.
And dress up.
And dress up. Halloween. Costumes, costumes, yep. costumes.
Yep.
Speaking of costumes, 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 Lady Gaga, she likes to dress up.
Mm-hmm.
And she likes to sing, too.
Sure.
She's got a brand new single out called Perfect Illusion that just dropped, like 5 hours ago. Just happened around midnight. We got new Gaga music, if you haven't heard it yet. It's pretty catchy. I like it, I think. I'm not sure. I'm still deciding.
All right.
You be the judge. Here's a little taste. Be high like I'm finally free. Maybe it's just a dream. That's what it means to crush now that.
All right. I'd give that a listen.
Would you?
Yeah.
I think we just did.
Good point.
Yeah.
I like it.
Hey, tonight is the annual...
No! No!
Well, come on.
Jeez.
It's the stand-up to cancer telethon.
Oh, okay.
You're saying no to that?
Jeez, person.
That's ridiculous.
Jeez. Yeah, this is a cool event. It is each and every year. A one-hour show to air live at 8 p.m. Eastern on more than 60 networks across your television dial. 60 networks will be carrying this. ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, Bravo, Comedy Central, E!, Showtime, Stars, VH1. You won't be able to turn on television without seeing this tonight. And it is star-studded. Ben Affleck, Matthew McConaughey, Emma Stone, Anna Kendrick, Josh Gad, Niecy Nash, Eric Stonetree. Goes on and on and on and on. All of it, of course, to raise money for cancer research. It's a great cause. So watch a little bit tonight and throw some money their way because they do great work and cancer blows. Right?
That's a solid take that I think we can all agree with.
Thank you.
It's rare when everybody gets together, too, like this. So it's
yeah,
kind of cool.
It's crazy. It's quite a production, and it's live, and it's videotaped, and they put so much work into it, and it's just loaded with stars all donating their time for a worthy cause. So if you get a chance, watch a little bit tonight. And as I mentioned, couldn't hurt to donate a little money. I like Bruce Springsteen as much as the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's just being silly.
What's he doing now?
After doing a 4-hour-plus show in New Jersey, he's announced he's going to try to go a little bit longer each night on his tour for the rest of the tour. They were at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on Wednesday night, and he did a show at 4 hours and 4 minutes.
Wow.
Which is his new U.S. record. And he said now he's going to break that record as the tour continues. His worldwide record is 4 hours and 6 minutes back in Helsinki, Finland in 2012.
Hmm.
But he says he's going to break that record on this tour. Look, I love Bruce. It's a very East Coast, Jersey, Philly, huge Bruce part of the country. I don't want to see anybody for 4 hours. I got things to do.
That's a long time.
At the end of 4 hours, I'm like, oh, really? Bruce, wrap it up. I got work in the morning. That's too much. That's too much.
I feel like maybe a Saturday that'd be all right.
That's too much.
A day, maybe starting at 1 p.m.
Really? But think about it. 1 p.m. it starts. By 5 o'clock.
It's too much, Ralph.
You're,
I agree.
Don't you? You're like, oh, I'm hungry. I want to go to dinner, and I got things to do, and... Give me a 2-hour show. I'm happy with 2 hours.
Here's the thing. I'm now looking at his tour schedule like, oh, those poor people at the end.
I might sell my tickets if I knew that was coming. Because I don't want to see a 6-hour show because I'm in Orlando.
But you can go see the show and not stay the whole time,
no,
right?
No, you can't.
Okay, I didn't realize how that worked. I didn't realize the rules.
It locked the gates.
You can't walk out of a Springsteen show before it's over.
That's acceptable.
you want to go to space and not hear Born to Run or whatever his closing number is?
I'm not a huge Springsteen fan. That might surprise you. But I did see him once when he played Staples Center, and he was great.
You can't beat him
but
live.
4 hours.
But 4 hours is too much.
That's a lot.
I don't want to do anything for 4 hours. Even this.
Okay.
I don't do that for 4 hours either.
I can't even
right?
look at you.
Ellie? Right?
Just stop doing it right now, please.
Well, I told you.
Right.
I don't want to do that for 4 hours.
We don't want you to do that for 4 minutes.
Let's see if someone knows the answer to my Danny Elfman trivia question, shall we? I believe Fernando is on the line, and they're from Downey, California. Fernando?
It's the clown with the tearaway face.
The clown with the tearaway face is indeed one of the characters Danny Elfman voiced in Nightmare Before Christmas. The other voice was Barrel, the character Barrel. Fernando, congratulations. You're getting your choice of the 29th or 30th to go see Danny Elfman's Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl.
30th?
No, well, you can tell the person who picks up after me. I don't really care when you go. But they,
I do. I'm glad you're going the 30th,
but
Fernando.
But this other person will care. Whoever, I think a beer mug will probably talk to you. You can talk to him about
that. So you're
that.
Saying the 30th, not the 29th?
What are you doing the 29th?
Are
can't,
you busy?
You can't go.
I have no idea.
Yeah. All right, Fernando. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details. And
congratulations.
We're going to mercifully let you off the hook at this point. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hugh Grant, 56 years old today. Adam Sandler is 50. Oh, so dobe-do. Eric Stone Street. Stoney. Oh, Eric. Plays Cam, of course, famously on Modern Family. Love that show.
Stoney.
Same.
Stoney.
Sure.
Big Kings fan?
Yes, he is. 45 years old today. Michael Bublé turns 41. Michelle Williams is 36 years old today. Lovely and talented actress. UFC featherweight champion Jose Aldo celebrates his 30th birthday. DJ Afrojack is 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk some NFL.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ Bell from Las Vegas. He is on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, and his website is pregame.com. He joins us on Friday mornings. Good morning, RJ.
I have a suggestion for you guys.
Yes.
I think you should do a cold open when you come back for my segment with no music, and because I don't like that intro music contrasting with the theme song.
Okay. What?
It just feels like the theme song should sit by itself.
I see. So now you're making demands about your theme song.
No, I'm not saying I would necessarily quit the show over this. It's okay. Just a suggestion.
All right. It's a strange time to start negotiating, but all right. I'm good with that. RJ has been on the show for a couple of years, and over his two-year record overall, 61% winners, which is well above average.
Above average.
Which is fantastic.
That's why I'm negotiating. Right? I've got the leverage.
Now, you always give us three picks. What are you going to give us this weekend for week number one in the NFL?
Okay, so underdog special. We always have an underdog special. We're going with Tampa Bay plus +3 over Atlanta. Now, in the NFL, home teams favored by +3 means that these are equal teams. So that's the implication here. But we've got two teams going in the opposite direction. Atlanta started last season 6-1. They finished 2-7. And the guys in Vegas who watched the film say the quarterback, Matt Ryan, he's hit the wall. Oh. His age is starting to be a factor. On the other hand, Tampa Bay's a team. The wise guys here in Vegas expect to overperform. And they've had so many high draft choices, Tampa Bay. They're just stocked when it comes to talent. And they've got Jameis Winston, a quarterback the wise guys love. You won't believe this. There's man crushes in Vegas for Winston. I got one guy. He lives in a big house. He hasn't worked for 20 years. He would rather have Winston over the next 10 years than Andrew Luck.
Is that right?
Yes. That's how much optimism there is. Now, again, that's not a consensus opinion. That's one really smart guy. Underdog special, Tampa Bay plus +3 over Atlanta.
All right, and your best bet for this week?
All right, best bet, we're going to New York City with the Jets. They're plus +2.5 over Cincinnati.
RJ, I'm sorry. I said best bet, and you said...
You said the Jets.
You said the Jets.
That's
so
weird.
Remember, this is a reoccurring theme with us. We smart bettors tend to be contrarian. You can't go with a popular team. And here's what's interesting. We did some content recently on the most valuable non-quarterback in the NFL. And one of the smart guys said A.J. Green, the receiver for Cincinnati. Now, think about this. He's really good. We all know that. But the key is how important he is to this Cincinnati team, because they've lost so much depth at receiver, and they have a really good tight end, but he's actually injured and he's out. And they lost Cincinnati, their offensive coordinator, who was really a good coach. So in early season NFL handicapping, you've got to try to ascertain what's changed, price what's changed between the years. There's been a ton of downgrades for Cincinnati on offense, but you've got A.J. Green, right? So that's pretty good. But remember, the Jets have Darrell Revis, still one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. He should be able to control A.J. Green. Cincinnati doesn't have much left. On the other hand, quickly, the Jets, they might be desperate in week one. Now, how can you be desperate in week one?
You're the Jets.
Well, that's part of it. They also, yeah, in general, that's a good answer always with the Jets. But they have one of the toughest schedules in the NFL the first 6 weeks. Cincinnati, Buffalo, Kansas City, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Arizona. This is a game they can win. You're going to get max motivation. Jets plus 2.5.
All right, so you got your underdog special, your best bet, and your big game. What are you picking?
Big game, Monday Night Football. Two games this week. We're going with Washington plus 3 versus the Steelers. This is an example of strength versus weakness. Pittsburgh's defense is average, but their secondary is horrible. Bottom 5 in the league. Now, if you look at Washington, a lot of listeners are going to be surprised by this. They have one of the best groups of wide receivers and tight ends in the entire league. So that's advantage Washington. Steelers' offense could be the best in the league, but they lost their number one running back the first 3 games. They lost their number 2 receiver for the whole season. That's really not on the radar, but that really matters. And lastly, teams have a personality. And if you aren't a professional bettor, it's hard to know all the team's personalities. But if you have a favorite team, you can watch that team closely and know, I'm a Steelers guy, I watch them very closely, and here's what I know, and I try to remain objective, is Pittsburgh struggles when things are good. And when their back's against the wall, they play very well. Right now, there's all this optimism for Pittsburgh. I think it's slightly unwarranted. Big game bet, Washington plus 3.
All right, and one other thing I just want your comment on, and is that, are people underestimating the Patriots because Tom Brady can't play?
This week?
For the first 4 weeks.
I think no, and here's the amazing stat why they're not underestimating them, is the odds of the Patriots to win the AFC, so to make the Super Bowl, are better now than they were before Brady was suspended. So it's almost like Belichick is such a deity, such a god at this point.
Well,
imagine,
amen,
you're on the plane and they say, uh-oh, there's a fire on the plane. It's like, don't worry, we got Belichick. That's almost like the mentality. Belichick can handle everything. Patriots are the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now, right at the top with the Packers,
wow,
and the Seahawks. So the market has pretty much disregarded these 4 games. Here's a quick key, though. Not only is it going to be a problem the first 4 games, I think it'll be a problem for the Pats the rest of the year, because Brady missed all that time in the preseason and training camp getting ready for the season. I know he's an expert. I know he's a veteran, but I still think that has a small effect the entire season. Pats are still going to be really good, just not as good as they could have been.
All
but
right.
He played the preseason. What did he miss?
But remember now, is you got X. Great question. You have X number of snaps during training camp of the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Usually Brady's going to take 95% of them. He had to split those with the backup because the backup had to get ready for the first 4 games. So it's not Brady so much, but all the people around Brady didn't get as much time with him, even though he's going to quarterback 12 games. At least that's the expectation.
All right, so the 3 picks, the big game, you've got Washington plus 3 at Pittsburgh. The best bet, you've got the New York Jets over Cincinnati, and the underdog special is Tampa Bay plus 3 over Atlanta. You can follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, and the website is pregame.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you next week. Yes. Introduce your friend here, Ralph.
Well, you may remember some time ago, I forget exactly how long ago it was, but we brought up a Kickstarter campaign. They were looking for crowdfunding for a documentary called For the Love of Spock that was created and being directed by Leonard Nimoy's son, Adam. It was a story of his father and of the character that he created that has become iconic now that we celebrate 50 years of Star Trek this week. And now the film finally is completed, and I've seen it, and it's amazing, and it's out today in theaters and available video on demand and on iTunes. And he's joining us in the studio, Mr. Adam Nimoy.
All right.
How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on the film.
Thank you.
I had a chance to see it a couple of weeks ago at there was a screening at the Paramount Studios lot, and you were kind enough to invite me to that. And to see it there at Paramount Studios, which of course is the home of all things Star Trek, it was really sort of a special event to have everyone there. And there were some members of the Star Trek universe, some of the other cast members, and people that had been involved for many years were present. What was it like for you that night to finally give birth to this project that you've been working on for so long?
Well, it was a culmination of a lot of hard work, and it was a really sweet night. We had a lot of friends and family there. We had a lot of Star Trek family members there, people who participated in Star Trek.
Yeah.
George and Walter were there, so that was wonderful to be able to share it with them. It's just a real, you know, sense of accomplishment, because I think we delivered a good film and an entertaining film and a film that gives people some insight as to the character of Spock and my father, Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
What does it make it more difficult to spend this much time with footage of your dad, or easier?
It was really a wonderful process, actually, to have lost my dad and then to immediately start looking at the film and the interviews of him and the old shows he had been on. I really found it to be a wonderful, very unique experience, because it still kept him sort of close to me. And then interviewing people and talking about him and all the love for him, it's like we're in a communal, you know, grieving session. And it was really comforting for me to be doing that.
I think about having such an iconic dad and how cool that would be, going to the set, what an amazing childhood. But then the flip side, you're sharing your dad with the world. That's a lot.
It was a lot. That was the big challenge for me growing up, and we talk about that quite a bit in the film, the fact that I had to share Dad with the fan base. I mean, The good news was Dad was popular, and the fans were responding. The bad news was Dad was popular, and the fans were responding.
Yeah.
And we couldn't be alone on the street doing father and son stuff together.
Now, when you were a kid, did you think he was cool?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I
was on the set. I was watching my dad in TV, always looking for him in episodes of TV, first of all. So I loved that he was an actor and in the biz. But before Star Trek even aired, when they were just making the show, the first season, this is June, really, of 1966, and I was out of school for summer vacation. I was there all the time. It was crazy. It was so much fun. I loved his look as Spock. I loved hanging out with Kirk and Bones and the whole cast, really, and being on the sets, on the bridge of the Enterprise, in the sick bay. It was like being at Disneyland.
Now, this film is a wonderful thing for any Star Trek fan to watch, because you do cover so much of the history of your dad's work and also the universe of Star Trek. But as I was saying to you earlier before we went on the air, it is so much more than that. And a lot of people could have made a film about Spock. A lot of people could have made a film about Star Trek. But your perspective as his son adds another element to this film that I know when I watched it as a son and now as a father, watching you deal with the dynamics, the family dynamics of being estranged from your father, having to put that relationship back together again, all the impact that his work and his fan base, as we mentioned, had on your family, it makes it so much more compelling, I think, and interesting.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Ralph, because the fact is, when I started working on this film with my dad, it was going to be Spock from beginning to end.
Right.
Because he did not want it to be the Leonard Nimoy show. It was not the life and career of Leonard Nimoy. But when he passed away, it was clear that we needed to expand this film to also include his artistic integrity, all the other avenues that he expressed himself artistically, the recording career, the photography career. And a lot of people really came up to me, beginning with my stepmother, actually, and said, you should include your own story because it makes the film unique.
Yeah.
To kind of give your perspective of my relationship with Spock and my dad and the ups and downs of our lives together. And I think it does add a whole other dimension. So the film is really a balance between those three, but it's still Spock-centric. We're front-loaded with Spock for every Spockophile who wants a good dose.
There's
plenty of Spock in there.
Yeah. You must have had 10 hours even edited down. How do you cut that all the way down to 1 hour? You have to leave out
so much.
Yeah, well, we had a great staff of people working with me. We had a game plan to begin with. We really had a very strong outline. It evolved over time. We had some ruthless editors in there. Who, you know,
you have to be, right?
You need other people because I'm too close to it, and I love Spock. I could have included an hour of Spock footage, you know, but we managed to cram his life and Leonard's life and my life with the two of them into an hour and 50 minutes, and it was because we had a very strong editorial staff and very strong opinions that I had to rely on, people I trusted, to weed out a lot of the film.
It struck me, you talk early on in the film when the Star Trek kind of blew up and became a success, especially with a core group of hardcore Star Trek fans, how fans would show up at your house and ring the doorbell because the family address was still in the yellow pages, and how you were in charge of, along with your sister and your mom, to answer the fan mail that would come directly to the house. It became sort of a family, pardon the pun, enterprise, where you guys were all involved in the success and in his career from a very early stage, right?
Yeah, we had an incident where 16 Magazine, which was a big fanzine back in the 60s, for some reason published our home address as the mailing address for the fan mail.
Right.
Oops. And it just, you know, it came, yeah, it's like, oops, what were you thinking? And these mail trucks started arriving with all this stuff, you know, and it just inundated us. And for a while, we did try to answer. We were stuffing, you know, the promo picture of Spock in and addressing these, you know, these envelopes. It was insane.
Right.
But after a while, it was overwhelming. We finally got some help, and we finally had to move, frankly, because people were showing up at our door. Fans were showing up at the door. It was a really crazy time. And the difficulty for me was I was always sending away in the comic books for, like, Spider-Man T-shirt and the X-ray glasses. You could see through a girl's dress with the X-ray glasses.
Right.
And I'm waiting for weeks for this. You know, I'm like, I'm 10 years old. And I want the glasses, you know.
Oh, you're getting bags. Oh,
we're getting bags. Everything we're getting is addressed to Spock. Packages. And it was just crazy.
Yeah, pizza guy. Live long and prosper. Whatever. I'm looking for my 3D glasses.
Yeah. I thought it was very honest of you to deal with your father's issues with alcohol, your own issues with addiction. You talk about the estrangement between you and your father. And I thought it was especially touching when you read your father's letters to you towards the end of that estrangement, when you and he were not on the best of terms. And he talks about how difficult it must have been for you to try to live in your father's shadow. He talks about his own relationship with his father and how difficult that was for you. Has this project been able to help you put some of that to rest? I mean, I know you've dealt with a lot of it before he even passed, but it must be great to kind of go through that and work out some of those thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great to kind of process the difficulty in our relationship and the acknowledgement of my dad in that letter.
Yeah.
That, I mean, he understood that I was up against a lot. I had a big act to follow, as it were. And competition with him was impossible. He talked about that, the fact that he was competing with his own father, who was a barber, not too difficult to do. And the letter I read throughout the movie because it really gives his perspective on the troubles that we had in our relationship. Now, that letter was written in 1973, and I only found it in December of last year. I mean,
wow.
It just kind of came out of nowhere. I was really lucky because it gave my dad's perspective. I mean, I'm talking a lot about the difficulties in our relationship, but I don't have him to go to for his point of view because he's not around.
Mm-hmm.
And then this letter appeared. So I think it's a real kind of powerful statement about my dad acknowledging the difficulty of the road that lay ahead for us. Because, again, that was written in 73 when I was a teenager, and the head knocking began then. And it was nice to really get his perspective on all that.
The movie is called For the Love of Spock. The website is the same, fortheloveofspock.com, if you want to go to find out where you can see it. It's at most of the Lemleys in Southern California. It's at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood. It's on video on demand as well.
As we celebrate Star Trek's 50th anniversary this week, I mean, the timing couldn't be better. And if you are a fan of Star Trek, it's a must. And if you are just someone who enjoys artists and the creative experience, and you like to hear about people's life stories, I can't recommend this film enough. It's just an excellent, excellent project. Congratulations.
Thank you, Ralph. I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for coming in. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:42. You can get a hold of us on Twitter. You can go to Facebook. You can leave a message for us on the Afro line. The first call at 323-520-AFRO is one of my people because he just now heard that Gene Wilder passed away. So he called the Afro line.
Oh, my God, Willy Wonka died. Eat the chocolate. Sacrifice an Oompa Loompa.
Oh, well. I mean, it was huge news a couple weeks ago, but...
Right. But I'm saying it just got to him.
Okay.
So he's processing it in his time.
All right.
Hey, Ali, just calling because there's a lot that you say. I'm just saying a lot. I just want to know what you're saying. What are you saying? What are you saying?
He sounds nuts.
Right?
Just saying.
Here's the thing. You say, I'm just saying, when you're at an impasse in an argument, because mm-hmm. somehow that confuses everybody,
mm-hmm.
and everybody else in the room feels like they're missing the point.
Right.
If you just say, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And the other one is, yeah, but still.
But still.
Just use that.
Right.
Yeah, but
okay.
Still. And then people go, okay, I'm not sure what's happening right now. And you confuse them into thinking that you're making sense.
Okay.
So that's important. This is for you, Allie.
Hey, Allie. You know what I'm saying? I'll smell it. I would definitely smell it. And if it is what I think it is, it probably smells like pomegranate. Okay?
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for that input.
We've got two bachelors in paradise. Ralph and people love the guys. We've got two bachelors in paradise.
Timely. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. This woman has a list of things that she... may not be happy with.
One, I hate you. Two, I hate you. Three, I hate you.
Noted.
Well said.
What if an opera singer sang Don't Bogart?
Don't Bogart, that's why my friend passes over to me.
Nope.
I think
no. We were talking to a police station that bees had taken over, and we called mm-hmm. the police station, and we were talking to the head bee.
Yes.
And this moment with happened.
First of all, I want 14 boxes of Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay. You know there's no actual honey in there, though.
There's no honey in Honey Nut Cheerios?
I mean, I feel like there is.
Sure I thought there was,
that?
Too.
I think they
hold
actually...
Hold on. Are you sure there's no honey in Honey Nut Cheerios?
Did you guys know there was raisins in Raisins Bran?
How dare you. How dare you indeed.
Hey, Kevin. I'm eating some applesauce, but there's no apples in it, right?
All right.
Probably just all sauce. Such a bozo.
Okay. All right.
Bozo.
Okay. I have the same question that this listener has. Get in my vagina.
Hi. I want to know. I have to know. Why does Kevin say, get in my vagina? Why? What? When did he say that, and why? Because I just need to know, please. And when can I get in Kevin's vagina?
Okay.
We ask ourselves that on a daily basis.
You have no idea where that came from.
No idea.
Really?
Stuff comes back, and you hear, and you go, under what circumstances would I have ever said
pretty
that?
Pretty bizarre.
Where I thought it made sense in the moment, but I don't have an answer for you.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. Here's an Afro caller, 323-520 AFRO.
You know, I call the Afro line. And you're telling me to be funny. I don't feel like being funny. I don't like you telling me how to live my life. I like to also just say that it's been a while since we've heard the Kevining song. So hit it, Steve. Steve? Steve, you there? Steve.
Hey, boys and girls. Have you heard about the new sensation that's sweeping the nation? It's called Kevining. And I'm going to show you how. Well, first you have to think like a Kevin. Think like IQ minus 11. You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine.
Duh.
You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine. Then you have to get a stupid goofy face.
Right.
And make sure you stare into outer space. You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine.
Duh.
You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the request. We appreciate that. We have one more for you. I don't know if you guys remember Victor Fuentes. Our favorite 911 call.
Ever.
Of all time.
Hello? Hello? Hey, yo, it's been too long. Give me some of that Victor Fuentes. Hit it, Steve.
Fire department operator 7575. What's the address, please?
16-12-1-1. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me. Tell me. Tell me. Tell me, is it a house, apartment, or business?
There's a house in Compton.
Compton.
What's wrong right now?
My, I
don't know. I just want to take the ambulance, take me to the hospital, and that's it.
How old are you?
I'm 19, homeboy.
You're a male? You're a male?
I'm a male, motherfucker. Yeah, of course.
What happened to you?
I fell down. I want them to take my head,
You fell off what?
What?
What'd you fall off of?
What? Hello? Hello? Too much information, man. Hello?
Well, we need to get the information so we know what ambulance to send.
Oh, Hello?
Been drinking it all tonight?
What?
Have you been drinking it all tonight?
A couple. Hey, you don't gotta bring all that siren and something like quiet and
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right, home. Hey, too much information and man.
You having any trouble breathing right now?
Hell no. Hello?
Any nausea?
What?
Vomiting? Think you're gonna throw up at all?
What?
How about pale, cool, or sweaty skin? Like you're going into shock.
But like going to sleep and
What's your name?
Victor Fuentes.
All right, Victor, we'll be there in just a moment.
7:53, Ralph Garman is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Tomorrow night at 10 p.m., I'll tell you what's going on at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I are going to mount the stage and maybe each other. Who knows? Anything can happen.
Has that ever happened before?
During Hollywood Babylon? Well, not during the show. Right. Before or after. That's okay. When we reserve our mounting. But
nope.
Smith and I take the stage at the Improv on Melrose tomorrow night, 10 p.m. for the Late Show. Come on out and join us. I think you're going to have a good time.
No. Mm-mm.
You want to come?
Mm-mm. No.
What if I?
No.
What if I put you up front?
No.
You sit right
no.
up front.
No. Hell no. No. No.
Come on.
I refuse. No.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe.
I think you're returning them.
Go to improv.com to get your tickets, and I promise I probably won't throw you out. We talked yesterday to a caller who was at the show down in Irvine when I tossed a table full of people out of the theater.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
I was angry.
Was it justified?
You might find it surprising, but I was angry.
Short version of the story, was it justified? Or
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. They started talking early on, loudly, during the show.
Ah.
And I just ignored them, and Kevin and I just ignored them, and we went on with our business. And then it got... You couldn't ignore it. So I admonished them publicly, and I said, well, there, I've shamed them into silence. And 3 minutes later, they start up again. Mm. So I gave them another stern verbal warning.
Mm.
And then about another 3 minutes later, they started going again. And then, it was not ugly. I was embarrassed afterwards about my reaction.
It was ugly.
But the audience seemed to enjoy it. So, there you go. Kellan Lutz, right? He's a guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know him from the Twilight films.
He was the dog. Yeah.
He was the dog in that film. He told us... Well, not us. Well, I guess so. Us Weekly Magazine. He told Us Weekly that he has heard that Sony Pictures is ready to remake The Masters of the Universe feature film. And he said playing He-Man would fulfill every dream he's ever had as an actor.
Kellan.
Well, that makes sense. Playing a plastic toy would be the ultimate in acting for Kellan Lutz because many people have equated him to a non-living item in previous performances.
Sure.
He-Man would be... Some actors dream of Hamlet.
Mm. He-Man.
Others dream of being an action figure. And so he wants to be He-Man.
Get his weak stuff out of here.
He's lobbying for an audition. Says Sony's working on the script right now, and he wants to play He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
I have the power!
That's what he says?
Yeah. Power of Grayskull, man.
Sure.
You know. Sad news. Black Lightning. We talked about Black Lightning. Remember the superhero pilot for Black Lightning from DC Comics?
Right.
Looks like Fox is going to pick up Black Lightning. Look, haven't we been down this road before? Haven't we learned our lesson? Because remember when CBS had Supergirl?
Yes.
Oh.
And it didn't fare very well. And CBS was like, oh, we're going to cancel that show. And then CBS said, please, come home where you belong. And now it's at CW. Now, Fox is picking up Black Lightning. And I'm sure they're well-intentioned and they want to be in the superhero business. But they're going to put the show on. And then something's going to happen where they're not happy with the numbers, whatever. And then it's going to end up on CW anyway. So can't we just cut to the chase? Put Black Lightning on CW so he can hang out with The Flash and Arrow and Supergirl and everybody else. And they can all be super friends. Right?
I mean, sure.
It's good news. It's going to be on television, but I was hoping the CW would pick it up. We'll have to wait and see. Interesting take on this character, by the way. I think they're going to cast an older actor because they said the premise is about a retired superhero.
Okay.
Who gets pulled back into crime fighting by his daughter, who was a crusader for justice, and and local gang activity in his neighborhood, and makes him suit up and become Black Lightning again. Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Just threw some lightning there.
Is the lightning itself black?
Do you have to ask that every time we talk about Black Lightning?
Just the actor.
Why would you think that would be the case?
That's the name of it. Back to you.
And Dave's very happy right now because The Last Ship has been renewed. The Last Ship. That's a TV show.
What's up?
That Dave loves.
The Last Ship.
The Last Ship. Another one of these shows that's sort of been below my radar.
I've seen promos for it, but I don't think I've ever caught any.
I believe the premise is there's some sort of apocalyptic scenario where there's a virus or something that
and there are a lot of ships?
No, Kevin, there'll be just one ship,
oh.
The Last Ship.
Mm.
And it sort of decimates the population, and this ship carries, I believe, the antidote to this viral outbreak. And Eric Dane stars. He, of course, was on Grey's Anatomy, mm-hmm. right? He was McSlappy?
McSloppy? Steamy,
he was McSweaty?
I think Steamy. Dream Steamy.
Adam Baldwin and Bridget Regan. We love Bridget Regan. She was in Agent Carter. Not Agent of Carter at all. Agent Carter.
Glad you said that.
Yeah. So, it's good news for them. It's fifth season for them.
Fifth season.
Renewed for a fifth season. I know we're all in shock, but we're happy for them, right?
Like it was on for one season, but they've renewed it through five.
No. This will be the fifth season of The Last Ship.
That it's been on.
5 years. It'll be 4 years. It's been on for 4 years.
Okay.
They're adding a fifth year.
Hmm.
Oh, I love The Last Ship. So good. They're floating in the ocean. Why can't he say vowels?
I don't know. He can say the right sounds, but he just mixes them up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that right, Ellie?
That's right, Dave.
Calls her Ellie. He does.
But then really when he's talking about an alley, he'll say Ellie. And then when he wants to say Ellie, he'll say Allie. Yeah. I don't understand how it gets mixed up. There's some kind of prism in his head.
Oh, I live in Allie.
Yeah.
Ellie? Ellie, do you live in Allie? Nuts. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hugh Grant is 56 years old today. Adam Sandler turns 50.
Wait, there's some kind of prism in his head?
Yeah.
Okay.
Adam Sandler is 50 years old today. Eric Stone Street's 45. Michael Bublé. It's Bubble, right? Can we just cut to
I mean, he says it, Bublé. It said
it's
Bublé.
It's Bubble. It's Michael Bubble. You know growing up he was Michael Bubble. And
no.
Then he became a big showbiz guy. He's like, oh no, it's Bublé. It's Michael Bublé. I'm not fooling anyone, Bubble. He's 41 years old. Actress Michelle Williams is 36. Jose Aldo is 30. DJ Afrojack celebrates his 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm not what you would call a thinker, for the most part.
That's
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning. But occasionally I'll stumble onto something that, A, surprises me, but B, mm-hmm. makes perfect sense, and C, no one seems to care.
Huh. Hmm.
How can all of those things be possible?
It doesn't seem to add up.
So I call those Kevin's life hacks. Now, I've come up with one, and Beer Mug is going through it right now. Beer Mug is going to get married.
Yeah.
So he's on a diet. Tell people what you're doing for the diet.
I am doing a 3-mile hike 3 times a week, followed by plyometrics. Very, very basic plyometrics, which I like to call the Batman workout, which Ralph gets really mad at.
They're calisthenics to the rest of us.
Like yes.
Jumping jacks,
mm-hmm. burpees, push-ups, right. sit-ups. Mm-hmm. And so far, I've lost about 9 pounds in the span of a month.
Okay. Now, you have another month?
Just about.
Okay.
Just about.
What's your goal?
My goal, I was 239. Right now, I'm 228. I want to get down to around 215, maybe. I think
215?
Yeah, 215, 210.
Well, your wedding's in like 4 months, so.
No, it's actually in like two and a half weeks.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I think that sounds reasonable, first of all.
I can do it.
First of all, that's a good goal.
You guys remember when I dropped all that weight really fast?
Yeah, like, it didn't really happen.
That really did happen.
I mean, it did, but it wasn't really fast. It was months and months
no,
and months.
No, no. You remember, right. I had 3 months, and then I did it in the
Stay
last month.
Stay on target.
Okay.
So here's my point. What Muggs is going to do is what everybody does, and that is he's going to get into the best shape of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's going to get married, and they're going to take a bunch of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's going to put those pictures up in his house.
Right.
Now, the thing we know about Muggs is he's going to gain that weight back plus.
How dare you? Okay. How
right?
dare you think,
I mean, for the most part, for the most part, you're going to be in the best shape of your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
For close, you're trying.
Close to when I was, yes, in the
okay.
best shape. Close to.
What are the chances you're going to stay in the best shape of your life?
It hurts me to say this, but very slim.
Okay.
Very slim.
I'm not saying this to demoralize you, but here's my idea. You don't lose weight before your wedding. You gain weight. You're at 239 when you start. You weigh in at like 259 at your wedding. Now, here's but, why. Here's
what?
Why. Let yourself go. Become a much bigger version of yourself. Then you take the wedding photos, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. Now, for most people, what they do is they get in the best shape of their life. They get their wedding picture taken. Then they put their wedding picture up. And then for 80 years, people judge them for the way they look. Oh, well, you know, you sure look, they think, you sure look good back then.
Okay.
See that picture right there? You're not that anymore.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
For 80 years or however long it lasts. In his case, you know, a year or two. So,
how dare you.
But what I'm saying is you're going to gain weight, so you're going to be unfavorably compared mm-hmm. to the best shape of your life. You're guaranteeing that for the rest of your life. Now, if you were to balloon up, now you put that photo up, and everybody walks into your house and goes, hey, you're looking good for 80 years or a year or two, however long you live. You know what I'm saying, though, for the rest of your life. They actually compare you favorably because you didn't lose weight and you weren't in the best shape of your life. So now they look at you and they go, okay, he's put on a few LBs, but he's used to be even fatter. So good work.
And
now you're getting positive reinforcement for life instead of negative reinforcement.
That's pretty good because there's no way I'll be fatter than I was in the wedding photo.
I think that's my
what
point.
He's saying. Yeah,
I don't know that I would go that far with you personally, but
How
I'm saying,
dare you.
In general, most people are not in the best shape of their lives for their life, so
right.
they look great in the photos, and then for the rest of your life, people just go,
"Yeah, but he let himself go."
They would never say that if you let yourself go now,
Kevin. This this is not bad.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
Yeah.
So you're saying 2 weeks left, balloon up?
Yes. Because then every time somebody comes into your – and why will no one do this? I've been sharing this idea with everybody. It's a
yeah.
great – is there a flaw in it?
I don't see one.
I mean, maybe vanity in that you don't want to look bad in a photo.
Right.
Okay.
But you're trading that for a lifetime of compliments.
Good point. That's a good point.
How is that not a given?
Okay.
Why is no one taking my advice?
It's good advice.
So you're the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I could.
Why won't you do it? Vanity, right?
Well,
nobody wants to look bad. I get that.
Sure. I think the hard work that I've put in already. Sort
so
of.
So he should have come to you before.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a little too late now.
Oh, it's
Kevin.
Not too late for you.
Okay.
You can still balloon up.
I don't know. I mean,
here's the thing. Losing weight, really difficult. Gaining weight, pretty easy.
Oh, super easy.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
That's the curse of life. Is
yeah.
It takes a tremendous amount of work to get it off, and then you just put it right back on. So why won't you do it? And why? What's wrong with this idea that everybody hasn't run with it? I'm right for once in my life.
Do you think, though, now more than ever, people are so vain and they just want that Instagram picture up? They
of
just
course.
Want that Facebook picture up. And maybe they wouldn't want to do that if they've gained a bunch of weight before their wedding.
But I'm saying you're trading in the
mm-hmm.
moment
right.
for the lifetime.
Okay.
So isn't it more important?
In time, sure. But we're such an instant gratification
yeah.
society. Maybe the benefits outweigh at the beginning. You're like, I don't want it. But down the line, sure. But that's
but
not
that's
who we are as people.
But that's the kind of decision you make on a daily basis. If there's food that you want to eat, but you know it'll make you fat, you decide, I can't
mm-hmm.
because in the long term, it's worth it. So that's what I'm saying. You say, in the long term, it's worth it.
It's hard to argue with Kevin.
I mean, it really, it makes sense, and I don't understand why everyone isn't doing it. I'm never right. In this particular case, I feel like I am.
I can't argue with it.
So, Cole, and tell me what the problem is. Is it the, did I explain it poorly?
No, I think you explained it very well.
1-800-520-1067. Muggs, where are you on this? It's, find the fault with it.
I've put so much hard work into losing the weight right now.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I feel that...
But you know what you're not going to do? You're not going to put that much work into the weight loss a year from now or 2 years. You're just not. Nobody ends up looking... Most people don't end up looking better when they're 30 than they are when they're 20. So if you're in great shape, you're sort of cursing yourself.
All right. Well, hey, look, Christine has some poutine ruffles in the office. Should I just start eating them?
Start loading up.
All right.
Just start eating and don't stop until your wedding day.
All right.
And then for the rest of your life, people will give you compliments. What's wrong with that logic? Call now. Talking about my foolproof theory. I believe it's bulletproof.
Oh.
I've now upgraded it just now. I upgraded it. Don't look your best for your wedding photos. Let yourself go.
Uh-huh.
And then when people see the picture in your house, mm-hmm. they'll look at the picture and they'll go, oh, well, he's a little overweight. And then they'll look at you and they'll go, you look great.
But that's working under the assumption that you will then actively try and look better after the wedding.
Well, I assume you would because you're letting yourself go for the wedding photos. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be happy at that weight. That's just for the picture.
Okay.
Put the picture up. Then you go back just to your regular living. And for the rest of life, people look at the picture. And they'll look at you and they'll go, you look really good. Are you losing weight?
I can't.
It's foolproof.
I thought bulletproof.
It's
no.
Both.
Okay.
It's both. Let's try Tina, who is calling us from Encino. Hi, Tina.
Hey, good morning.
This makes sense, right?
Oh, I can't hear you. Hang on.
Okay, sorry.
There we are.
This makes sense, right?
No, it doesn't make sense. You're out of your mind.
Okay. Okay, why?
Because you guys are forgetting that the wedding pictures and the photos are all about the bride. He needs to be in his best shape and look great for the photos. They're about her, not him.
I'm saying the same for her.
You're insane.
I'm not insane. I'm saying if the before picture looks better than you can possibly look for the rest of your life, that hurts you in the compliment division. But if you let yourself... But Tina, if you as a bride let yourself go, and then people see the picture, then for life they go, you look great, Tina. Have you lost weight? What are you doing?
No,
tell me your secret.
Embedded in time forever in a photograph. No, thank you.
You are not bulletproofing this,
all right,
Tina.
So I feel like I've turned you, Tina. I feel like I'm going to put you in the yes category.
I think it's the opposite.
Thank you for the call. Come on now.
You're flabbergasted.
I really am.
Tina didn't agree.
Well, here's the thing is that I'm really never right, but I can't see why I'm not.
Okay.
This time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mixture of never being right, and this time I feel like I'm right and no one is accepting it.
So because we were focusing on Muggs, we're saying bride and groom.
Same.
You say both.
Same.
Okay.
Because then people will look at your picture as a bride and they'll say, you look great.
Okay.
Oh, Ralph, we don't need you.
Ralph ran in here.
I can't bear it any longer.
Okay. This makes perfect
it
sense.
It makes zero sense.
Tell me how it makes zero sense.
Because, douchebag, how many people outside you and your wife have ever seen your wedding photos? Where are people seeing your wedding photos?
Don't you put up one wedding photo in your house?
Okay, how many people are walking through your house? What do you have, a museum tour of your house and a big giant portrait of yourself on your wedding day over the mantle?
No, but I'm saying if your friends come over, they'll constantly look at that picture
and
say,
you look
great.
How many friends are seeing it? How many friends are seeing it?
Well, a lot of, don't you have people over the house all the time?
Yeah, sure, occasionally,
okay.
But as opposed to a group of 300 people at your wedding, who are all staring at you, you know what they're doing when you're up there? They're nudging and saying, holy crap, look how fat he is.
For that day.
And that's all they're going to remember.
For that day.
Because more of them will have the memory of the day than will ever see the photo that you keep on the corner table in your den behind your stuffed animal that you won at the fair.
Okay. So, you're saying for that day, the opinion of the other person is you look bad.
And every time these friends talk about your wedding, they're going to say, remember how fat he was up
there?
No,
but then when they see you, what's going to happen? When they see you, what's going to happen? Every time they're going to say, you look really good. What are you doing? What's your secret? Because that's burned into their mind.
But the one day of your life.
Win,
but the
effort?
Important day of your life, your wedding day.
Right.
The one thought in everybody's head is you're a fat a-hole.
For that day.
But your wedding day. But that day, by the way, is your wedding day.
Right. So you. So you said.
Not a Tuesday. Not some day at lunch. But one of the biggest days of your life. Everyone's thinking and pointing at you saying you're a fat slob. You look like hell.
Yes.
That's not a good thing.
For that day. But for the rest of your life, you get compliments. It's
no,
a trade-off,
because
Ralph.
Later on in your life, you're going to be a fat slob again. They're going to say, oh, he looks just like he did on his wedding day. Remember what a fat slob he was then?
Well, maybe he didn't gain enough weight for the wedding photo.
Oh, you wrong.
Right,
lose.
Let me take some calls. Let's go to Richard in Burbank. Hi, Richard. Hello.
So back when I was in college, I started losing my hair, and I came to the stark realization that I had to do something.
Okay.
So I shaved my head.
You shaved your head. Okay.
So I was like 22 at the time. So now I'm 34, and people look at me, and they go, wow, you look just like you did back in college. You look fantastic.
I got to tell you, it sounds like you're back at me.
It pains me to say it.
I think that's the biggest issue, is people don't want to accept it because it's coming from me.
Okay.
But Richard found it to be true. People look at him now 12 years later and say, you look great.
He's shaving his head. Very different.
Okay. Wow. What do I have to do to get through to you people? All right, let's go to Mario in Lakewood. Hi, Mario.
Hi, I totally agree with Kevin.
Yes!
I'm actually living proof of it.
You're living
proof? You gained weight for your wedding?
No, I didn't intentionally gain weight, but right before my wedding, I was probably my heaviest, nerved, binge eat, partying, last-minute bachelor stuff.
And what did you weigh? Last-minute bachelor stuff? How much weight does that add?
I probably weighed, at my wedding day, I weighed like about 230 pounds.
Okay.
On the 5'10 frame. I look round.
And what are you now?
195.
And what do people say to you every day of your life?
When they see it, they're like, oh my God, you're that same person that got married at 230.
Boom.
And so I have siblings who needle me about it, and they're like, wow, look at you then, look at you now.
For life.
The smile on Kevin's face
Mario,
is so punchable.
Mario is living proof. Thank you, Mario, for the call. I was going to try to take credit for negative calls, but I don't need to because I'm right. For what? This is the first time ever. Let's talk to Gil, who's calling from Rosemead. Hi, Gil.
Hey, I'm on Team Kevin.
Yes! Nobody's ever said that!
Yeah, dude, I'm totally on Team Kevin. It wasn't intentional, but I got into a car accident a couple of months before I got married, so I couldn't really work out, and I was kind of eating. And so I was about 244 when I got married, and now I'm about 220, and I look freaking awesome.
And people tell you that every day.
Hell yeah! The anniversary was last month. So, you know, the pictures just popped up on Facebook.
There you go.
I look better now than I did then.
Compliments for life.
Life.
This is so great. This is so great. Thank you, Gil. Let's talk to a bride. How about that? Let's talk to Ashley, who is calling from North Hollywood. It's funny because normally we have to take people who disagree, but I can't find any. I'm trying hard.
Okay.
But this is bulletproof.
I can't with your face.
Ashley in North Hollywood.
I agree with you 100%.
Boom.
You actively set out to gain weight before your wedding.
No, I gained weight due to the stress of planning my wedding. I gained about 40 pounds.
Okay.
And now I've lost about 75.
Wow.
And people look at me and they tell me I look amazing, that marriage is doing me good, that marriage is great. They think my marriage is great because I've lost a lot of weight and I look amazing.
See? Ashley, is your marriage great?
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter.
Okay, good.
It doesn't matter. It just matters that
it
looks great.
No, that's not true.
I feel like it is. All right, now, so far, we haven't found anybody that's done it on purpose.
Right.
But everybody that accidentally was too heavy is happy about how they look now.
Well, of course they're happy how they look now.
So I'm saying shortcut that.
Oh, geez.
And put on the pounds and then just collect compliments for the rest of your life. It's genius. I'm a freaking genius. Let's go to Chelsea in Corona. Hi there.
Hi, Kevin.
Oh, I sense some disappointment in your voice.
Yes, your bubble needs to be burst.
Okay.
All right, so I'm actually planning a wedding right now, and I would kill my fiancé if he did this.
Right, but that's so because you're not doing it. The thing that has to happen is you and your fiance
teamwork.
Have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you both collect compliments for life. What's bad about that?
Oh, no, 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 no. The wedding is, like, the party of your life. Like, it's your number one day.
Right.
And it's celebrating you as a couple. You want to look your best on that day. That's crazy.
It's
I don't
really,
want to look my worst.
It's really your first number one day, if we can be honest. And you'll have a second and third number one day to worry about.
Like what?
I'm saying you're going to get married again. All right. Thank you for the call. I'm going to put you in the yes
you're
category
so
with everybody else.
Oh, no. I'm
going to put you in the yes category.
I don't think she wants to
don't
be there.
Happen.
Oh, come on now.
No.
Is that right, Muggs?
I agree, right.
That's
you're
right. That's what I'm talking
Hey!
I think that was it. I think that was it, everybody.
Nope.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for a brand new Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KROQ.com.
We find the best viral videos and we put them up on...
Internet Roundup. Better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KevinandBean.com.
We take the best internet viral videos and we put them up all in one place. You go to KevinandBean.com. If this is to be believed, there's a college chemistry class, and there's a guy at the very far end of it. How far would you say this throw of the trash into the trash can is, Dave?
Oh,
100 feet?
It's far. He's on a balcony. Yeah.
So if we're to believe this, the college professor said if he makes it, everybody in the class gets 100. He throws, and it's in the air for what seems like forever, and it goes right in the trash can.
Oh, God!
And they go crazy because they got 100.
And
crazy, right?
Got- so many retweets and everything.
Yeah.
Way to go, Benny. Da, da, da. And then we find out his name is actually Vinny. He's like, that moment when your name
really?
Is Vinny. And Benny's trending, everything. It was amazing.
How many chicks in that class did Vinny bang, though? Right? Like 100 on that test? Boom.
I'm not sure that's how it works, but
let's move on. I would if you got me 100.
The next one is Tarum Killam. Dave, explain this to us. He got let go from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, fortunately, he got let go from Saturday Night Live. And he's a big Rams fan and been following Hard Knocks. And he did a Hard Knocks-style video of himself cleaning out his desk from SNL.
You know, when you first get the job, you can't believe it. You know, it's a dream come true. But year after year, the ideas don't come so fast. The wigs start fitting a little looser and... You find yourself thinking, I can't possibly come up with another silly voice.
Hmm.
Oh.
It's a little sad, right?
That is very sad.
What was Thor doing during Captain America Civil War? He wasn't in it. He wasn't in it? What was he doing?
Am I disappointed that they didn't invite me to fight with them? No.
He doesn't know how to get in touch with you.
I don't have a phone.
He doesn't have a phone.
Send a raven. I just start my own team. Team Thor, of course. And it would be me and Dara. Just us. Right, D?
Yep.
Here is the bloopers that are always so fun to watch from Captain America Civil War.
All right, everybody tense up!
What the f*** is the line I forgot?
Psychological around. Oh, mother f***.
Yep. See a smooth mother walking towards you. Speech up.
That's a long video and well worth watching the entire thing. Here's a Suicide Squad trailer, homemade, shot for shot. You'll hear the voices and the music all done with somebody's mouth.
Blah, blah, blah. All that chit-chat's gonna get you hurt. I can't wait to show you my toys.
He's just a psychotic antisocial freak.
What?
Careful.
So you think you can stop me and spit in my eye?
That's not bad.
I like it.
That's not bad. I don't know who has the time to do that, but it isn't bad. Jimmy Kimmel Live does a feature called Say What. And in this particular one, a rapper named Designer, who has a song called Panda,
is you can almost not tell what the words are at all. So he went out on the street and he asked people if they could understand what the lyrics are.
Peggy school.
High school. Slip off. Fun.
Yeah, I can't say that.
What was he saying?
That's very funny as well.
Oh, yeah. No more danger list. Woo, pandas.
Last week tonight with John Oliver is always great. He had a web exclusive for Labor Day with some pretty good ideas.
There are some things that after this Labor Day we should stop doing and then never do again. For instance, let's stop saying that's interesting when we mean that is not interesting. From now on, when someone tells you a boring story, simply say, bless you, like you were just sneezed on, because that is what hearing about someone's travel delay feels like.
Not a bad idea, right? Here is the best funny news bloopers. These are always great. These videos, how long is this one?
This one's about 13 minutes, but this is all focusing on...
I know that that's forever in internet time, 13 minutes of watching one video, but it's so many of them edited together.
Yeah, and these are all hurricanes, since we are in hurricane season.
Such great weather bloopers.
Bam! This thing is, like, pounding us from behind.
We gotta ask you, do you realize there's a hurricane going on?
I was born on that like this!
Okay.
I am past perpendicular! Look at that! It's holding me up!
My favorite guy. So happy.
It's holding me up, guys.
Yep.
Heard
you. You know, I just survived two hurricanes in Hawaii, and they were nothing like that.
Yeah, I don't think that was... I don't think yours were very bad, probably. Honest Trailers is back this time because of the new Blair Witch Project. They take a look at the movie from 1999.
Revisit the original loose collection of scenes about a bunch of kids wandering around the woods for 90 minutes.
Because we're making a documentary.
Not about us getting lost. We're making a documentary about a witch.
Arguing about a map.
Give me the f***ing map. I gave you back the map, Heather.
I gave you the map.
I gave you back the map.
Your map was useless.
This was your own.
That map was useless.
So that's, those are there. And there are some other videos as well that don't have great audio, but they're worth watching. You can check it all out at the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, kevinandbean.com.
Internet Roundup on kevinandbean.com.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
So we had Dave get Taylor on the Swift for us. Taylor on the Swift.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift on the phone for us. Hey, shut up, Taylor. I don't need your input on that.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I felt like it's been too long, so I wanted to contribute. We're going to take your calls next for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. We're going to ask you to do what we can't do, and that's to be interesting. So call us on any topic. You want to talk about Landon Donovan coming back to the Galaxy? Fine. You want to talk about the Rams this weekend? Fine.
Yeah, what's that all about?
It's about him coming back to the Galaxy.
Oh, I'm retiring. Everyone worship me. Let's have a big retirement event and parties, and everyone bring me gifts and unguents and oiled slave ladies to my tent. And then, okay, I'll come back, sure. No big deal.
He retired pretty young, 32, so he's 34.
Well, then don't retire then, 32, if you want to keep playing at 34.
I'm saying.
It's pretty easy to keep playing at 34, and now you do it, you don't retire.
I'm not technically asking you this question. I'm saying if people want to call on that topic. The number is 1-800-520-1067. Or if you can tell us what The Last Ship is about. We're trying to figure that out. It's been on the TV for four seasons, and none of us have seen it. Or questions or comments, 1-800-520-1067. You call now. We'll take your calls right after the top of the hour. It's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Landon Donovan's not as back as his hairline, but he's back.
Wow. Ralph. No, I know I what you mean. You know. You don't need to show me with your own head.
I don't think you know.
Got a lot of hate in you, Ralph.
Soccer. You can just come and go, apparently. Another reason it's not a sport. You can play, you can not play, whatever. It doesn't really matter.
Well, he...
I don't see Peyton Manning suiting up this weekend, do you?
Yeah, but he shouldn't.
Right.
Landon should.
Oh, should he?
Yep.
We don't know. What's happened in the last 2 years? Maybe he got all fat for his wedding photos. You don't know.
Kevin's hurt.
I was dead on with that.
He loves Landy.
Ooh, I do.
Landy cakes.
Landy cakes. Right. Kevin's nickname for him.
Oh, God.
When that was announced yesterday, people were tweeting me that in that voice. Said like Ronzo.
Landy cakes is coming back. I'm so happy.
He's a great soccer player. He's a great addition to the Galaxy again.
Great humanitarian.
We're going to get him on the Swift.
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., do the right thing. Come to the Hollywood Babylon Show at the Improv on Melrose. It's a tasty way to do it, and it's good for you.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I remember Wilford Brimley saying that once.
Oh.
That's all I know.
Is that super old guy that did commercials for cereal that no one ate?
People ate it. It was a little something I like to call Quaker Oats, my friend.
All right, whatever. Does it have chocolate in it?
No.
Well, then I'm not interested.
It was oatmeal.
Is he the one with diabetes?
Yep.
I got diabetes.
Oh.
I think he's dead now.
Great reference.
Yeah. Improv.com is where you go to get your tickets for the Hollywood Babylon show. You want to hear more of my Wilford Brimley impression?
He's alive.
No, idiot. Is he really?
Yeah, he's 81.
Holy moly. We talked earlier about this grease phenomenon, this top of the trending social media topics is the movie Grease. And we talked about
who died.
We talked about nobody died.
That's always, don't you think when you see a trend, don't you think immediately somebody must have died? Mm-hmm.
This is dumber.
Okay.
This is a theory, a conspiracy theory that has taken the internet by storm, that in the movie Grease, Sandy and Danny are actually dead at the beginning of the film, and the whole thing you're seeing is the last gasps of an oxygen-deprived brain of Sandy, who's drowning in the ocean at the beginning of the film, and she has a fantasy about what a year in high school would be like with Danny. And then at the end of the movie, she gets into the car, and she goes up into the sky, and she's going to heaven.
Why do we need a new interpretation of a 30-year-old movie?
Because pot.
Okay. All right, I can accept that.
Because weed exists, and people have too much time on their hands.
Well, I can accept that.
Another part of the conspiracy theory is that Danny is also dead, and that he is having a death dream about...
The same one?
Rescuing his girl and being with her, and so they both go in the car up to heaven together. Mm-hmm. Well, thank God TMZ exists, because they got a hold of a gentleman named Jim Jacobs. Jim Jacobs was the writer of Grease.
Okay. What does he know?
The original Broadway musical, and then the film that it was based on.
Wait, so you're telling me that somebody did some follow-up on that original story of a reinterpretation of Grease?
Nothing is more important. Forget the Commander-in-Chief Forum. Forget the presidential elections. It's whether the 30-year-old movie is about death or not. Now we have the definitive answer.
Strange the things that take over the internet.
Jacob says whoever came up with the theory that Sandy actually drowned and that her entire movie is her waterlogged synapse is short-circuiting just before she dies and ascends to heaven in a flying car was on acid, is his answer. So I'm taking that as a no.
Okay.
So we can put that one to bed. We can settle that one. We can stop it. Shailene Woodley.
There you go.
Shailene Woodley is the name of the actress. Remember her? She likes sunshine in her vagina.
Mm-hmm.
She is a star, of course, of the Divergent films. Now, here's the thing about the Divergent films. They have been progressively making less and less money as the series goes on. The franchise's fourth entry, Ascendant, did not perform well at the box office. And so what they're talking about doing is producing now as TV movies with a possible spin-off TV series, perhaps on a Netflix or an Amazon or something like that, a lower-budget version.
Okay.
So they asked Shailene Woodley, the star of the franchise, what she thought. And she said, nope. I didn't sign up to be in a television show, she said.
Well, that seems a little snooty.
I'm not necessarily interested in doing a television show. Huh. Right? Because she's a movie star. By the way, Shailene Woodley starred in ABC Family's The Secret Life of American Teenager for 5 seasons. So, she's been on television before. But no, she says, didn't sign up for a TV series. I said the same thing, man, when they tried to do the Joe Schmo feature film. I said, no, I'm a TV star, damn it.
Remember
that
ever.
I don't do dumb movies.
I don't remember that ever happening.
Don't you remember Schmo 3D was going to be called?
Oh. No.
Where Joe Schmo takes on robots. You don't remember that?
I wish.
I said, no. I'm going to stay,
'cause you have standards.
I want to stay true to my art.
Right.
And speaking of art, Lady Gaga! She's back! New single from her just dropped today. It's pretty catchy, pretty danceable. I think she's got a lot of talent, this Gaga.
Is it with Tony Bennett again, or is she on her own?
No, she's back to modern music, less of the standards. This was produced with Mark Ronson, hitmaker Mark Ronson, Blood Pop, Kevin Parker, all participated in this. This is a single from her as-yet-untitled forthcoming solo studio album, but here it is, a little new Gaga music. It's called Perfect Illusion.
Seems bad for her throat.
Is Yoko Ono.
She can't keep
that's
this up.
Not Gaga. That's Ono.
What?
That's not Ono. That's God. Not Gaga Ono.
Oh. Oh, you wanted Gaga?
Yeah.
Oh. Be high like I'm finally free. Maybe it's just a dream. That's what it means to crush. Now that I'm waking up.
Right now, somewhere Madonna's doing crunches. She's doing dips, trying to get those sinewy arms even more stringy. Because she hears footsteps, man.
Crap, that's what I used to sound like when I was good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Afrojack's 29 years old today. UFC interim featherweight champion Jose Aldo is 30. Michelle Williams is 36. Michael Bubble. I'm not buying into his BS, by the way.
He's Buble.
Michael Bubble.
His name is
Buble. It's Bubble.
Okay.
He's 41. Our buddy Eric Stone Street. We love him. Cam from Modern Family. Also, by the way, he was great in Secret Life of Pets. I don't know if you saw that or not, because you
didn't.
Don't have young children. But, boy, it was a great film, and he was terrific. And 45 years old today. Adam Sandler is 50. And Hugh Grant celebrates his 56th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And it's time for What's Good. Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we can be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good? All right, we're going to take your calls on any topic. Be interesting. That's all we ask, if you would be so kind. Let's go to Paul. He has a strange request in Fontana. Mm-hmm. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning.
What's your request?
Can we get a third showbiz beat on the podcast? I'm a longtime podcast listener.
Uh-huh.
From before the commercials to commercials in the beginning and then the end and now commercials regularly. I was wondering if we just get a third
showbiz beat. That's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea, but Paul, you live in Fontana. Why aren't you just listening live? What's going on? You work?
I work late hours, yeah. So okay.
That's acceptable.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul, for the call, and we appreciate you listening to the podcast as well. Let's go to Guillermo in Mission Hills. Hi, Guillermo.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
What's good?
Hey, I was just I'm not sure if anyone else is bothered by how much Mr. Robot is ripping Fight Club off. Especially like at the end of episode 9, like Where Is My Mind comes on, and as you know, Fight Club ends with that
right
song, and so it's like
I don't feel like they're ripping it off as much as maybe paying tribute to it. I think they're acknowledging it, don't you?
Well, there's a...
Because his dad, for those of you that don't watch Mr. Robot, his dad is constantly, you know, getting in his head and telling him stuff, and he's not real.
Right, Tyler Durden. That's
yes,
Tyler
exactly.
Durden, basically, right?
Guys.
So, you know, it kind of bothered me a little bit just because it's such a good movie, and I feel, I don't know, maybe he's paying homage to it. Maybe
guys.
I'm just seeing rubbing me the wrong way because it's such a blatant ripoff. Down to the soundtrack.
Guillermo?
Mm-hmm?
Should we even be talking about this?
Oh, you go right to hell.
Really? Are you sure?
Oh, you suck so much. Let's go to...
Because
you're not supposed to first rule the Flight Club. Blah, 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 blah.
All right.
Okay, let's go to Chris in Hermosa Beach. Hey, Chris.
Hi, morning, guys.
Hi, what's good?
Honestly, I want to say you guys are good. My mom passed away about a month ago, and listening to you guys, every time I drove up to the hospital, put a smile on my face and made me laugh.
Oh, wow.
I just want to say thank you to you guys for entertaining me while on my drives and everything.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear about your mom, Chris.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, except for beer mug. Every time.
Wow. Okay. Talk, like, there it is.
I felt really bad.
There it is. Thank you, Chris. Thanks, I was just going to say, I'm not sure how to handle actual genuine emotion because I usually deflect.
Right.
Because I'm sort of a child.
I'm shocked you didn't put the timer on, Chris.
Chip was trying to get me to put the timer on. Yep.
You two are evil.
Yes, she was. Let's go to Christina, who is calling from Irvine. Hi, Christina.
Hola. Good morning.
What's good?
So, listen, I just finished binge-watching Outlander, and I watched the season finale of season 2 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! It was phenomenal. Is anyone watching that?
I'm not watching Outlander. Is it something I need to catch up on?
So think Braveheart meets 50 Shades of Grey meets time travel with the scale of Game of Thrones, like the way that the acting is, the way that the cinematography, the storyline. I mean, it's incredible. I'm just like,
wow.
Why isn't anyone talking about?
That's
this?
A pretty good sell for that show.
Is there any incest?
Yeah. What's that?
Is there any incest?
Allie needs that in her TV.
I need that in my TV show. No, Dave said something about someone time travels back and then has sex with someone they're related to.
Ooh.
Is that possible?
Happen?
No, there's actually a lot of rape.
Okay.
I don't know if that flips your boat, but
not so much.
It's pretty
no.
crazy.
But it's a good show.
It's pretty crazy.
Let's get back to where you were saying it's a good show. I feel like that went south. Thank you for the call, Christina. Wow, she had such a beautiful way of selling the show, and then she just undercut herself. Beer Mug, what are you doing on the phone?
What's up, you guys? Big night for us Los Angeles Dodger fans. I can't believe nobody's talking about this, but Clayton Kershaw is back on the mound tonight, first time since June 26th. He's been out all season, but he's coming back tonight. Woo!
Do you not know how phones work?
Auto 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:34 and time for our final look at the showbiz beat for the week.
Thank God, right?
Right? I
thought this week would never end. Longest week ever.
Wasn't bad for me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You only punch in twice a week. I guess that's not too shabby.
I'm averaging about 2.5 days and I like it. I'm feeling good about it.
Hall of Fame! It was a short week and it felt like forever. Right?
Right.
Speaking of forever, don't leave your house today. Don't go anywhere. Don't drive. Don't do anything. Don't get in your car.
Why? What's happening?
Just park your car. Lock it. Maybe lock yourself in the car or lock yourself in a building near the car.
Okay.
What's going on?
Vice President Joe Biden visits L.A. today.
Uh-oh.
You have any idea what that means for traffic?
I know that Fridays suck for traffic already without him.
So, meanwhile, also to Tom Bien, don't go on any of these streets today. Pershing Drive, Westchester Parkway, Imperial Highway, the eastbound 105, the westbound 110, South Figueroa Street, 3rd Street, 1st Street, Hope Street.
Wow.
Grand Street, the 110 Freeway between 1st Street and West 117th Street. Yeah.
Just those?
From about 3 o'clock this afternoon on.
Ugh.
It's just going to be.
Why don't they just chopper them around?
It's going to be.
They do, but
Biden
then it's.
Geddon, I call
after
it. Biden Geddon. Biden Geddon. That's what I'm calling it. So just a heads up, if you travel during those times, we're talking, you know, sweet ass rush hour.
Pretty
much from 3:45 all the way through about 7 p.m., 8 p.m. tonight. You could hit some gridlock, so keep in mind. Chip's leaving now, I think.
Chip, you don't have to go now.
She wants to get a head start on the traffic. She's leaving now. So, just want to give you a heads up. However, Saturday night, no problems with traffic. In fact, you can get right to the Improv on Melrose.
How can you promise that?
Very, very easily around 10 p.m. Saturday night. You can make your way right there to the Improv on Melrose, and you can go see Hollywood Babylon. Me and Kevin
no.
Smith. Yeah, you'll like it. You'll enjoy it. I guarantee.
No way.
We had Adam Nimoy on the show today. Son of Leonard Nimoy, who, of course, you probably recognize as Mr. Spock from the Star Trek franchise for, lo, these 50 years, recently passed away.
Just that tiny role?
Yeah, just that. How weird must it be to play a role that not only is internationally beloved and recognized, but that lasts for 50 years.
Yes.
Who do you know that is in a project that lasts that long with that kind of fan base? It's pretty unique. Even if you think, all right, the closest thing to it is probably the Star Wars franchise, right? But that's, you know, not nearly as long.
Yeah, true. How many movies were there? How many Star Trek movies were there?
The original cast did five, I think, films. And then the Next Generation cast did a couple. And there's been four, I think, spin-off TV series. Another one coming with Star Trek Discovery coming next year. And then the rebooted franchise with Chris Pine and cast. There's three of those.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's an entertainment juggernaut. Anyway, this movie, For the Love of Spock, this documentary that Adam made about his dad and about the character and about the Star Trek phenomenon, it is in limited release this weekend, also available on video on demand. But I wanted to give you a heads up. On Saturday, the American Cinematheque is doing a really cool event at the Egyptian Theater where they are having a screening of the film, which I've seen, by the way, and it's terrific. But Adam will be there himself, and they're going to do a Q&A afterwards. So if you'd like to hear more from the director of this documentary and Leonard Nimoy's son, Adam Nimoy, he will be there on Saturday at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood after a screening of the show doing a Q&A. So a little heads up for your weekend plans. New music from Tuvalu.
Tovlo?
Tovlo, or as Dave calls her, Tuvalu.
Is that what he says?
Well, it turns out that's actually her name.
It is?
Yeah. Don't you remember this argument we had? We originally were going to have her on for that smash hit song she had, Get High, or I Had to Say
High All the Time,
high
or whatever.
All the Time, yeah. Whatever that was.
Yeah.
And so we were having her on, and so we said, oh, Tove Lo, she's great. We can't wait to talk to her about that song. And he said, oh, Tuvalu. And we're like, what? Tuvalu?
Come on.
Yeah. Habits is by Tuvalu. And we're like, you're a dope, first of all. And why can't you speak correctly? And then she came on the show. And we're saying, hey, Tove Lo is in the studio. And they said, at home in Sweden, how does your name pronounce? And she said, Tuvalu.
But we didn't give in to Dave, right?
No, we didn't.
Good.
But after she said it, we kind of had to give him that. But you have to understand, we've been burned so many times by Dave.
Yeah.
He was the one who thinks the actress CCH Pounder's name was Chich Pounder.
Yeah, he did tell
he
us that.
He literally said that.
Yeah.
Would you guys like to have Chich Pounder on the show? We're like, who's Chich Pounder?
I'm just rad.
So, he's just red.
Anyway, Tove Lo is having a new album out called Ladywood, right? It's coming out in October. And she just dropped her new single. It's available now. You can pick it up, featuring Wiz Khalifa. It's a song called Influence. And it's pretty cool. So don't trust every word I say. I say sounds good without making sense. It's a blur, but I want my way. My way. When I'm under the influence. I like her a lot.
I do too.
I like that album.
I think she's talented.
I'm glad she's back.
Remember when she was in studio, we asked her, when you're in Vegas, do you gamble? And she said, no. And I said, why? And she said, party.
Right.
One word.
One word. Because drugs and alcohol still exist.
Party.
That's the second single off this new album, Ladywood.
Okay, Ralph. I mean, every
first
time
of all,
you say
why
it.
Do you torture us?
First
you
one was Cool Girl, and now this one. So, good stuff. From Tuvalu. Oh, Chich Pounder.
I hate it when he's right.
Me too. It's a nightmare, isn't it?
Yep.
J.K. Rowling is finally going to make some money, and I'm glad.
Thank you, Chick.
What?
Jick
Rowling is finally going to make a little cash. I'm glad because I think she must be hurting with all those Harry Potter films. Did you know she wrote another series of books under another name?
I did not know that.
She wrote a series of books about a private detective named Cormoran Strike that she wrote under the nom de plume of Robert Galbraith.
Hmm.
And now BBC is taking three of those novels. The Cuckoo's Calling, The Silkworm, and Career of Evil, and they're using them as a basis for a new TV series on the BBC. So she's going to make money off of that now. I didn't even know she wrote another series of books.
I didn't either.
She's a very productive lady. She's one of those people that makes you feel just sort of awful about yourself.
Yeah.
Because she's taken her life and just made it awesome.
She had a baby. She was writing Harry Potter at a coffee shop.
She was on welfare at the time.
Yeah. It's just insane.
She's pushing a pram and then writing on a legal tablet. She came up with Dunkeldoof and all.
Yep.
Dumbledore.
Zibber House and all that.
Yep.
All, that
all of those. All that
crap.
I love Harry Potter.
I know. I know people do. But it's all pops and buzzes in here.
I love it.
I got none of it.
Love
Oh,
it.
I'm in Clippenden House. Oh, I have to... Oh, Professor Zimble Guy.
There are some unique names. There are some unique
names. It's nonsense.
What house would you be sorted
Gryffindor?
Into? Real that quick?
It's the only one I could think of.
Oh.
I'd be in Plobber Snap.
Yeah.
The Plobber Hap Snap House.
Right. I would be Hufflepuff.
Would you? That's
would.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
Oh.
Thanks for sharing.
Ralph, you'd be Slytherin. Not even a sure. question.
Yeah, I'd be Slytherin. Yo.
Okay.
Nope.
Slytherin with this.
Yeah,
nope.
I knew it was coming. So.
Come on.
Slytherin. Doesn't that sound like a euphemism for sex? So me and the girlfriend are Slytherin last night, right? The next thing you know.
I guess, but okay. I'm saying if you've seen it. Okay.
Yes, Ralph. Took my hoff and poof and put it in her muggle bum. Or whatever the... silly words are you people
I
use
yours.
The nutty franchise.
The problem is that the real ones that she uses are as crazy
it's
and nutty.
Not. It's just gibberish.
As Ralph can come up with.
Oh, it's Uncle Glaggersnag.
It's pretty close.
Coming to the party. Come on, it's just ridiculous. I could write that book in 3 minutes.
You couldn't.
I could easily.
Yeah, but you couldn't. Here's the thing about that.
Oh, and when Punkerston went down to Gliggle's Snort House. Then he waved his pooker stick.
Although I would like to read your version. I don't think you can do it in 3 minutes, but I'm in.
Whenever he went to Hubble Blow. All right, let's go home. Let's say.
Right?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Afrojack's 29 years old today. UFC's Jose Aldo celebrates a 30th birthday. Michelle Williams is 36. Michael Bubble, 41 years old
That's
today.
Good play. Good
play. Eric Stonestreet. Stonestreet, we love you. Happy birthday. He's 45. Adam Sandler turns 50 today. And Hugh Grant, beloved romantic comedy star, Hugh Grant, is 56 years old. You know what? I feel bad. Because he's a great guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know him.
Why would you say that?
But he's beloved, and he's done all those wonderful, charming romantic comedies and everything. And still to this day, it flashes into my mind. What flashes into my mind? Divine Brown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that car. That's
pretty scandalous.
That car thing. And that whole thing. That's not fair. I shouldn't do that. And I certainly shouldn't bring it up on the radio.
Well, I mean.
On his birthday particularly.
That's probably a bad on your part.
Shame on me.
Right.
I'm going back to Koppelblatt House then, where I belong.
Asshole.
Right? Today's celebrity birthday is brought to you by me.
Okay.
Ralph Garman. I wanted to take responsibility for what I said, okay. So I put that on me. That's on me. That one's
right.
On me.
Good.
I'm Ralph Garman. I want the show is beat.
Think about the SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. on the world-famous K-Rock. Monday morning, Harvey Levin and Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I got me a monkey.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Look at me, I've got girl boobs.
Roll another one.
This is making me extremely horny.
Just like the other one.
Please tell me this is going where I think it's
this
going.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Musica, musica, musica.
I need another hit.
Why do kids take drugs? Because they're awesome? No, maybe they just understand that life is pain, and if you smoke something or take a pill, it'll go away for a while.
I'll drink to that.
Roll another one.
I just suck. I suck.
Just like the other one.
Do you ever blame yourself?
This one seems to be about
the butt stuff.
I don't have another chance.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's really good to be back with you again this year.
I don't want that
joint. I'm just totally psyched. What's going on with that?
Just pass it around.
Just smell it.
I think, I'm sorry, I didn't think it would be this hard, but goodbyes are always hard, especially when I am the one saying goodbye.
Yeah, I really want to punch you all in the face, except for Allie, because she's a girl. Instead, I'll write her a strongly worded email, and then we can just all move on from this great tragedy. You guys are all dumb and stupid. What am I doing with my life?
Can I just say one thing?
Yes. Goodbye.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
See you around.
Go Ducks. Bye, guys.